Hello and welcome to episode number 38 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. This is part 2 of the Art of Video Games, and we're going to forego our normal format, and we're just going to jump right on into part 2. Here it is.
Okay, so that brings us to our next era, Bit Wars, with an exclamation point. I like the exclamation point. I like the treatment of it as a war, because as a kid at this point transitioning into my teens, I was all about being a Super NES fanboy and constantly battling it with my friends about whether the Super NES and the Genesis was better, even though in the end and during, I loved both. I assume you guys remember the era similarly.
I never understood why we were supposed to choose. Maybe I was just like privileged to have both.
Oh, I prefer to say you were being raised right, because now that I'm an adult with my own disposable income, I don't choose. I just get them all. What system do you like better? I like them all. It's awesome. Because both systems had just gems of games, and they had like a, it's not like now, they had like a culture surrounding them, you know what I mean? There were so many exclusives.
That was really the era where it felt like a Genesis game. It felt like a Super Nintendo game.
Yes.
It wasn't just like, oh, we're going to port it to everything and pick which one you want less slowdown on.
Even the ports were, yeah, there was no way to port it without it taking on a certain feel.
Atmosphere.
Yeah. Because the Genesis music had that cool, like, bow, meow, like, I don't know, like, tinny kind of, I'm gonna abuse this word, Ricky, synthy sound to it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when I hear Genesis music to this day, I know it's Genesis music because they used a certain sound chip.
Yeah.
It used a certain type of sound. Whereas the Super NES used a revolutionary sound chip that could duplicate like 8 billion instruments. And more than that, the graphics just looked a certain way on the Super NES versus the Genesis. And the Super NES did have slowdown problems and the Genesis didn't. And I don't know, man.
It's also really interesting to see that in that era, you know, the Bit Wars era of 89 to 94, there was only two consoles, man. There were two sitting there fighting it out.
It came to be that way, yes, but I...
Pointed out in this exhibit is what I'm getting at. A minimum of four in other categories. Here we've got two that stand out. So, in your guys' opinion, what's missing?
Oh.
System-wise.
The TurboGrafx. That was my favorite 16-bit system. I mean,
yeah, the TurboGrafx 16 occupied, I guess, a similar spot to the Dreamcast would occupy later, where it was a transitionary system. It was a transition system, or transitional system, however you want to put it. It had basically like two 8-bit processors and could do it was way better looking than its 8-bit competition. But when the Genesis and the Nintendo Super NES came out, they sort of outclassed it graphically. That said, it is the home to so many like just charming, like quirky games, and had such, again, its own cool little ecosystem. Okay, so yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Brian that the TurboGrafx-16's omission is glaring, but that said, they did give the two premier systems of this era a fair treatment. Devoted sections to the Sega Genesis and its chief competitor, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Let's just jump into the Genesis during the Bit Wars, I guess, and see what they've got picked out as representations of the various genres. We've got, under Target, now we're getting away from space shooters and we're getting into platform action shooters. Now, I love this game. This is a game worthy of, like, a place in a museum somewhere in it, some category. But Gunstar Heroes.
What's the difference between Gunstar Heroes and Earthworm Jim as far as categories go?
They are basically the same genre as far as I'm concerned and belong in the same category, since you asked.
I agree. That's what confused me about it. Like, it's just, this isn't even shoehorning. This is just like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's let's get to that in a second. So, Gunstar Heroes. I love this game. Thankfully, it beat out Viewpoint, which was an isometric shooter, and sort of a, if I recall, which was in a Neo Geo port, again, if I recall, which was kind of a spiritual successor to Zaxxon, again, if I recall, or I might be totally wrong about all this. I'm not even bothering to look this up. And Ranger X, which I believe was a side-scrolling shooter, again, based purely on memory, where you're like a robot or something. I want to say it reminds me of like Section Z or something like that. Either of those games would have been an infinitely more appropriate choice for the Target category, if in fact the Target category is the home of space shooters, which it has been up until this point, I want to point out. But instead, Gunstar Heroes makes the grade. I don't know why. You guys have any thoughts?
I'm clueless. I think the Ranger X game would have been a much better choice.
Ranger X was solid, by the way. That was a good game. If memory serves, there may have been some, like, you know, forced running portions of Gunstar Heroes where you're like, you know, the screen scrolling past you as it would in a space shoot 'em up, and your guys are running. This is just me hoping that there's something like that would sort of make this fit in this category. But apart from that, while I love the game, I question its placement in this category. And I can tell by your stunned silence that you do too.
Yeah, this is just a big question mark. So,
yeah. So Gunstar Heroes. Next, we move on to Adventure. I completely agree with their choice in series. Their choice of installment in that series is up for debate. They chose Phantasy Star 4. Brian?
I don't even think it's up for debate. 4 pretty universally panned as the worst of the series. Why not 2? 2 was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth noting, there were 3 Phantasy Star games on the Genesis. 2, 3, and 4, right?
Yep.
I liked 3 a lot. I remember liking 3 a lot more than 4.
There were things about 4 I didn't despise, but, I mean, it just as the example of what this could be? No, not really.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get their choice of 4. I remember 3 being a huge graphical leap over 2. And 4 being a marginal graphical leap over 3, but in terms of it being a game, and in full confession, I didn't play 4 to completion.
That's evidence that it's just a bad choice. I mean,
yeah.
You're the prime demographic for this game, the right age, everything.
Yeah.
Just like me.
Well, other choices that the other two that made the cut were Flashback, The Quest for Identity. I don't know if that was a Genesis only Flashback game.
I can't believe that wasn't picked. That game was badass, man. And that screams it. I mean, that was one of those games where graphically nothing else was like that.
Yeah, it was remarkable.
That thing came out and was totally different than anything and everything else. Gameplay, the whole, I don't know, man. Just I was dumbfounded. I was like, as much as I agree with Phantasy Star before, I don't agree with Phantasy Star. Where's Flashback? I just kept saying it when we were at the exhibit. That's all I kept spitting that out of my mouth.
Is this Flashback game that they chose as a candidate that didn't win? Was the game not called just Flashback, or was it called Flashback: The Quest for Identity? Was that because it was released on? I know it was a PC game and released on consoles as well. Do you recall?
I only know of it as Flashback, the cinematic platformer. I don't know any other. So yeah, I see what you're saying. If you click on the Wikipedia link, it does go to Flashback, released as Flashback: The Quest for Identity in the United States.
Okay, but so it's
I don't recall that.
So Flashback is Flashback. All right.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say against that as a candidate is it wasn't a Genesis exclusive, and it wasn't necessarily anything that defined the genre on the Genesis, other than defining the genre on every system it was on.
True, true.
And their other choice of Shining Force 2, which I would say belonged more in the tactics category as a turn-based strategy game.
Agreed.
Moving on from adventure, we move into action.
Or as we like to call it, Target Part 2.
Where Gunstar Heroes could find no home, but where Earthworm Jim, which is actually shares a beautiful... The common thing it has with Gunstar Heroes is it shows off like that very fluid animation they perfected.
Yep.
On the Genesis in particular, and in the 16-bit, you know, during the 16-bit era in general, the animation's awesome. It's like you're playing a cartoon. And Gunstar Heroes was very similar. And the games are you're like playing these like super fluid sprite-based characters, and you've got pistols and you're shooting stuff.
Yeah, they're remarkably similar. I don't know how they're in different categories, except for maybe the fact that Earthworm Jim. Sometimes you shoot, sometimes you use your body as a whip, sometimes you got to use a catapult to get a cow out of the way. So maybe it has to do with the fact that it's... Because Gunstar, don't you just shoot all the time?
I thought there were different weapon modes, but that might just be my...
You shoot different things.
Yeah. It's been years since I played it, so...
I have a vague recollection of that game, but Earthworm Jim, like, I was just playing that a couple weeks ago on my Game Gear thingy. I have the other one. That's not the Game Gear. It's the handheld.
The Nomad. That was,
yeah, the Nomad. I have
one. That was a full Genesis in portable form.
The big ass screen. It eats batteries like a mother brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Nomad battery devourer.
So I was happy with this pick because I loved Earthworm Jim, and I think it fits the category. It fits the it fits perfect with that system. You know, I can understand why they would pick it for art, why they would pick it for that system. I mean, just a lot of things.
Yeah, and I can definitely understand why, being lovers of Gunstar Heroes, they just threw it into Target so that it beat out Ranger X and, I don't know, games like all the Thunder Force games that came out on the Genesis at the time. Those didn't belong in any kind of a winner circle.
It makes you wonder, is it because of tech? Is it because of art? Is it because of popularity? I mean, it's such a weird mix.
Dude, the Thunder Force, I think it was Thunder Force 3 or 4, was spectacular looking on the Genesis. Do you remember that, Brian?
Yeah, I think it was 3.
Just incredible. To say nothing of one of the Sega CD games that got released, which was one of the launch titles, like Soul Feast or Soul Deece or something. It
looked, yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. But yeah, it didn't. I noticed Sewer Shark didn't make that cut either. Too bad. Sorry, but back to action. Yeah, Earthworm Jim beat out the other two candidates. Sonic CD, which was a really good game and probably deserved to win. And Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, which was not quite as good a game, but definitely just won on quirk factor. So moving on to tactics, where Zaxxon 3D won. No. where I took exception to a game like Shining Force 2 not winning or even being included, but where Brian defended the genius that was Dune 2 Battle for Arrakis. Brian, I'm going to let you take this one away because you made a pretty convincing case for why this was chosen.
I think this was a really hard one because Herzog's Y was on the list. The Shining Force would have been an excellent choice, but I don't hate Dune because it was basically the first mass appeal real-time strategy game, and people didn't even know what to call it then, and it was a really awesome game.
Yeah, I had never seen this or heard of this game before, and when I saw that video, much like the one for the NES, I was like, I can't believe I've never played this. First of all, it looks badass, and secondly, the tactical style of like gameplay just, I don't know, it looked badass. It really intrigued me to the point where I have jumping on eBay looking for copies of it to pop into my Genesis so I can play it because it looked that good.
It was that good, seriously. It was really good.
It was impressive.
There were three sides. I don't remember if you played one-on-one or if you just played two of the three at a time, but they were actually like different units and everything, and it was everything that you would come to expect from an RTS in like probably 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, much like the other game looked like a precursor to, what's the name of that game, Tom? I'm fucking it up.
Advanced Wars.
I can never think of that damn name. Okay, so Tom, much like that desert game was the precursor to Advanced Wars, this game, this Dune game, seems like the precursor to something like StarCraft.
Yeah, in that it was an early real-time strategy game.
Yeah.
And I think it's doubly impressive because it was done with the limited resources and memory of a cartridge-based system. You know, so you had all of these counters and everything being managed in memory. That just sounds like a programming nightmare to me, and you could run out of memory quickly if you had something.
Yeah, and then to look at it, like, visually, it's bold. Like,
yeah.
It's impressive.
I was impressed by the way that game looked, now that I recall. So, cool choice. I won't argue with it. That wraps up the Genesis and brings us over to the best system ever, man. Super Nintendo Entertainment System's way better than the Genesis. Shut up, 14-year-old me. however old you were back then, you little punk. Okay, so we start with Target, and thankfully we're back into spaceship shooters again, instead of side scrollers. So, you know, like Contra didn't make the Target cut. Instead, the winner was Star Fox, and that was damned innovative at the time, and I can't really argue with that.
I never played
good
it.
Good choice, Brian.
You should look that one up on eBay too, Rick.
Yeah, Rick, you ought to play Star Fox and realize that polygons on a gaming console were unheard of, and then that game came out.
I don't know. When I was watching the videos for this one, I just really was not impressed in any way, shape, or form. It felt like a bad, like, it didn't seem like it needed to be 3D. So, granted, they may have been pushing technology, but I didn't really see any benefit of them doing so, except for the fact that it looked bad. And
you know, it...
And I could have played Space Harrier and got the same effect.
You know, you make a point. You do. Because Space Harrier did have a very convincing 3D effect to it. But I remember going over Brian's house and playing Star Fox for the first time. And having seen the screenshots, I was like, what is like triangles and squares? This is awful looking. Like I was reading a Nintendo Power magazine. Then Brian's like, no, dude, try it. And I sit down and I play it. And I'm like, what is this? We didn't even understand what they were saying when they were talking about like polygonal games.
There was a lot more to that game too than just like, oh, it's a shooter. It was the first one that your squad would actually kind of do stuff. Like you couldn't get that in Harrier. And the boards forked depending on which way you went and what you did and stuff like that. Like there was actually a lot to it.
There were decision points. And there was more to the game than just the graphics. But yeah, looking at it now, it might be hard to get... Those graphics that were so cutting-edge then would probably be hard to... Might be hard to swallow now.
And I'm not trying to be a hater. I was never a giant Nintendo fan when it came to consoles. So my ignorance in said consoles may become very extremely evident during some of these.
That's cool, man.
I'm an Atari fanboy for life. What can I say?
No shame in that. No shame in that. Yeah, we'll get a hold of it and let you borrow it and make you like it. How's that? One game that even if you haven't played it, I'm sure you would grow to love, was the winner of the adventure category. And I agree with their candidates in this case, and I agree with their choice, because this is a tough choice on the Super NES. They chose The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. One of my favorite games ever made, consistent with their choice of Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System, though not with their omission of adventure on the 2600. I can't say anything bad about it. That game was awesome. I mean, you, compelling arguments could be made in favor of other candidates on this list, as well as other games on the Super NES, but The Legend of Zelda was solid.
Coming back to the video games as art thing, this is the first game that I really remember having atmospheric sounds. I remember hearing like the rain.
Yeah.
And the rain would quiet when you went indoors.
Yeah, it was muffled. You could still hear that it was raining outside, but yeah, you were now indoors. And that was the Super NES, like, innovative sound chip being employed. Or just good programming. But,
yeah. Yeah, this was one, as an outsider, watching the little video demo of this, very intriguing. I was like, wow, that's a game, like, I want to give that a run. To the point where I was like pricing Wii's and stuff so I could get a virtual console, shit like that.
It's worth playing. I mean, it's another one of those, like, the benchmark for graphical quality today is how real something looks. The benchmark then, at least for me, was how much it looked like a hand-drawn cartoon.
I'm with you on that. That has a far bigger appeal to me. And it's funny because this game, that was one of the things. It was like, I just love the way it looked.
Yeah, and it looked like... I bought it from my friend Donnie. We did some kind of a trade, and he's like, dude, have you not... he was trying to, you know, sell me on it. I was going to buy that from him and a bunch of other games, and he's like, look, have you not played this game? It looks like a cartoon, man. Here, let me show you. And he pops it on. I'm like, sold! Because it looked like a cartoon at the time. Like, I couldn't believe graphics had come that far. If you look at it now, you can... The pixels are evident. But at the time...
Yeah, but it's also in vogue again, that style, so...
Yeah. So we're back to it being cool. And man, the sound and music. I'm kind of a big video game music fan, and I bought and imported the music CD for this game, which I think might have some orchestral arrangements, but also has like all just the original chip music.
Nice.
Popped over to CD, and it's got some great, great tunes, man. So Brian, anything you can think of that might have been chosen instead?
No, nothing more representative than this.
Yeah. Okay, good. We're going to let that's a solid, we let that one go. Good. All right, now over to action. And they chose the launch title that came out for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, an excellent game by any measure, Super Mario World. That seems consistent with their previous choices, I guess, for action, with some exceptions, as I'm looking back with a few exceptions.
My only complaint about this is I kind of wish they'd stop representing the same series. Like,
yeah.
We kind of already know how artistic that can be. Give something else a chance.
Yes, on the on the art side of things, I didn't see much difference between the Super Mario World and the Super Mario Brothers 3. I mean, it could just be my ignorance showing there, but
no, actually,
there's not a giant variation. So this is one that seems like it won by popularity.
It's testament to how good the graphics of Super Mario Brothers 3 were on the previous generation system that it stacks up favorably to this cutting edge game that was Super Mario World. I mean, if you look at them side by side, Super Mario World is a prettier game and has the newer technologies evident.
Right.
But yeah, it's another iteration of Mario. And on the list here, they've also got Donkey Kong Country listed, which I would agree, graphically at least, was a real envelope pusher.
Yeah, that's one of those games where that was like one of the nails in the coffin. That fucking bastardization of Donkey Kong into the Nintendo world of things irritated me to no end back in the day. It still does.
But he was their property. He was their property.
Right, I know, but it was like totally different. It was, I don't know, man. It was like,
you must have loved Diddy's Kong Quest.
Dude, all that shit drove me fucking crazy. And then with the baby fucking monkey behind him and stuff.
That's Diddy.
Oh, man. God. And then the bongo thing irritated me, man. Help keep me away from the system. But I will agree with you, dude. 10,000%. Why didn't this one win? Graphically, this shit was amazing. Like, I don't like that style. But you can't deny, technologically and visually, everything, head and shoulders above other shit.
They used pre-rendered, you know, models, and then they ported those over into the game and animated them, you know, basically kind of, I guess, a pixel, sort of something akin to, like, the pixelization of games like Pit Fighter. And it was just, like, I'm looking at this thing and my eyes were popping out of my head, like, this is absolutely gorgeous.
It was like nothing you had seen before.
You know, I keep using the word solid. I got a competent game as well. Not, you know, just graphics and no gameplay. It was well done.
It's okay, because apparently I'm on shore leave, because every other word shit or fuck, so.
Also good music in that game, Donkey Kong Country. Gonna point that out. Their other candidate, Brian, you might have agreed with this one. They chose Super Star Wars.
I'm kind of having a problem with all three of these games. They weren't really anything new. Super Star Wars was a brilliant game, but artistically, it was a running shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a few different modes, but
Super Star Wars looked beautiful at the time.
Great game, but like as art, I don't know that it really expanded anything.
Yeah, I suppose not. It was more just a port of the series. You know, it was a Star Wars game on the Super NES, so that there it was.
All right, but the technical genre is run and gun, and it seems a few of the categories that fall under action also fell under that run and gun game. So.
Gunstar Heroes, as the name might imply, was a run-and-gun game. I just want to point out that nevertheless fell under Target. So to bring that up one more time.
Yeah, so again, we uncover no glue. So back to confusion.
One last thing I want to say before action. Why, oh why, since we're talking about Super Nintendo exclusives, wasn't Super Metroid included in this list?
See, Metroid would have been a great option. That expanded things, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible, man.
It's because it lost on the regular Nintendo in the action series.
And see, here you go. You could have got rid of the Mario, included something that wasn't included earlier. It's a shame. They kind of missed out.
Yeah, I think Super Metroid, I could see why Metroid might not have won on the original NES, but Super Metroid was so polished, so good. God, I just keep going back to the music on the Super NES. Excellent. Okay, so moving on. Super Mario World. It's a good choice. It's another Mario game. I guess they were sticking with a theme. On to Tactics, the final category for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. They chose something that wasn't an exclusive. SimCity.
This was a big game.
Okay, they did stylize it heavily for Nintendo, right? They put like...
like Bowser attacks and...
Yeah. And I remember it did get a lot of fanfare and was featured fairly heavily in Nintendo Power and other magazines. But it beat one of my favorite games ever, ActRaiser. Which was a platforming action game / you're a good god trying to take the world from an evil deity game. That game was awesome.
I loved ActRaiser. I would kind of argue that as a hybrid, it doesn't belong in this category since like half the game was just an action game. But I don't know. I liked ActRaiser.
I don't know. What about Syndicate? That was another contender. That game was badass.
Another non-exclusive. Syndicate was a PC game as well.
Yep.
But nevertheless, taking on its merits, a worthy candidate that lost out to SimCity.
Tactical shooting, real-time tactical game.
Not sure how I feel about the choice here. I'm trying to think of other tactical games for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, though. And nothing is springing readily to mind. I think they did Ogre Battle, which could have won. But it was kind of a sparse field, I think, on the Super NES, unless my memory's just totally failing me, which it probably is. So SimCity wins, and I'm willing to let it go.
Me too.
Okay. With no further objections, we move on. All right. We move on to something curiously called the Transition Era. I'm not sure from what to what, since this era marked a very definite, maybe this is what they meant, a very definite departure from 2D and an arrival at 3D as the presentation format of choice for video games. 3D
this
games
is also are pretty much the CD era.
Okay, yes.
Except for good old 64.
Yeah, at this point, and there were a few transition systems that didn't make the cut here and got killed that were CD-based systems. You know, people, let's move to optical disc with all of its great storage and music and blah blah blah, and get away from these clunky old cartridges. Well, the final evolution of that were the systems included in this category and the N64, which stubbornly stuck to cartridges.
And I feel really kind of suffered for it.
Oh yeah, they ceded dominance. They ceded market dominance. Well, our perception might not.
I think the sales bear that out. I think PlayStation buried it.
Okay, cool. So the sales would bear out what our bias is. Okay. Here they include DOS/Windows, which, as we discussed earlier, seemed to start with Windows 95. And in Target, under the Target category, home to space shooters of various types plus Gunstar Heroes, we bring in Diablo 2.
I just don't even understand that. I didn't understand it when I saw it in person, and now seeing their suggested list of other possibilities in this category, the number one thing that I said when I think computer gaming and the word Target...
TIE Fighter?
Yeah, there you go!
The X-Wing series.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yeah, the Star Wars series of shooter games, of space shooters. Yes, absolutely.
They were synonymous with it, dude. I mean... That was one of those titles or series of titles that, you know, much like the flying simulators before it, I mean, you were glued to your computer playing Star Wars.
Yes. I guess like X-Wing didn't make the cut because it was before Windows 95, but its successor title, TIE Fighter, did make the cut, and that loses to Diablo 2. How is Diablo 2 a Target game?
It's beyond me.
Yeah, this... No.
And I could understand it if it looked like that was starting a new trend in their category of Target, but it isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like Utopia back in the Intellivision age where they put it there in order to set the next precedent.
Right. Like... And with some of the earlier systems, they were like, okay, now that these capabilities were available, this came to define that genre.
Right.
Here they said, oh, we've got capabilities to continue along the thread of Target, but we decided to throw Diablo in.
Makes no sense.
I'm so puzzled by this choice. I would love to pick the brain of the people who arrived at this decision.
Wasn't there a lot of World of Warcraft, like, art and sketches and everything there? Maybe Blizzard just kind of said, hey,
sponsorship?
You gotta
yeah.
work this in.
Hey, dude! If you sponsor us in, we'll give you some exclusive in-game prestige pets. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's that and the creators of Panzer Dragoon are, which people after they listen to this in full will get that joke. But yeah, a little overabundance of presence in some of these things.
I don't know what else can be said about Diablo 2 under the Target genre. We should just move on. Okay, in adventure, things get markedly better because Fallout wins. I have no argument.
How is that not tactics?
Oh, Brian has an argument. I guess it is it not more of an RPG, though? Or
time, though. But wasn't there positioning? And, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like a Final Fantasy RPG. It was like you have to move your guys and worry about line of sight. And
I don't remember now, Brian. I my experience with Fallout was...
I don't know, but how can you deny Grim Fandango? Well, almost, that's another one of those. It's like synonymous with PC gameplay of an adventure-style, RPG-style game, or whatever you want to call it. And graphically, hugely different than anything else that was out at the time.
Yeah, I remember Grim Fandango being, like, impressive and possibly genre, you know, shaking or defining.
Right.
Man, I'm still, for some reason, I'm remembering Fallout more traditionally as an RPG, though, Brian, to answer your question. I just, that it could be that my memory's off, but...
The little video they showed looked like a first-person shooter. Didn't look much different than what it looks like now.
My mind might just be totally drawn a blank. I'm not qualified to weigh in anymore on this. Fallout seemed, when I saw the title, I was like, yes! But now I'm drawing a total blank, so...
I'm gonna have to dig this out.
I defer to you guys on this one, or we can just move on. Mixed feelings on Fallout, I guess we could say.
No matter what, I think we can agree Grim Fandango was a better choice.
Yeah, yeah, and Baldur's Gate 2 was a Shadows of was another candidate. Baldur's Gate 2 was more of a RPG in the vein of, well, Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and all those other awesome games. Ooh, Icewind Dale, I love that game. Yeah, so Grim Fandango maybe should have won this category. Although Tom can't say, because his brain doesn't seem to remember Fallout correctly. Moving on! Next, under action for DOS/Windows, is Doom 2. The winner of the action category is Doom 2, sequel to Doom. This is a category spanning from 1995 to 2002, and the number one game under the action series is Doom 2.
From 1994.
Doom 2.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't even catch that.
Doom 2, a graphical upgrade over Doom, but lacking all of the sophistication that would come with later games that existed within this time period.
I mean, Unreal Tournament is one that stands out. I mean, I was happy to see Doom, I'm not going to lie. Like, but it doesn't make any sense.
Wait, this is 1995 to 2002. Where the hell is EverQuest under adventure? Sorry, I had to go back. But to continue our discussion of Doom 2.
I was happy to see it there for historical purposes, I guess. And watching it, the little videos reminded me of how fun and how awesome it was playing on the beginning days of the PC.
Uh-huh.
But... looking at it from 95 to 2002, it's not enough. It doesn't have enough legs to stand on.
Which one of you just asked where Half-Life was?
Not me.
Oh, well, I guess it was my internal dialogue. Brian?
It's a legitimate question, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, Deus Ex was good, and my experience with Unreal was limited, but it was also good. I don't know... Is it because Doom 2 went away from like the primitive 3D to a more proper? Wait, did Doom 2 change the engine essentially? I don't recall. If I have to dig this much to understand why they chose it, then
exactly. I think as much as I love that game, like I said, and historically, I think it deserves a spot somewhere. But if you really think about the entire span of 95 to 2002, there was other things that came out that were more defining,
yeah.
Whether it be technical insertion, and that's why it's on the list, or graphical insertion, that's why it's on the list. I mean, so many things stacked up against it is why it shouldn't be Doom 2.
It's almost like, I mean, they wanted to throw Doom in, but Doom was too early. So they're like, well, Doom 2 is pretty much the same game. Let's throw that in.
Yeah.
And it didn't really take anything artistically in any new direction.
Historical significance, but they threw that out the window with the Star Wars games too, so why bother including Doom?
We've got to see if we can get... on an off chance that we can fit them into our schedule, we got to get some of the decision makers from this onto our cast. Okay. Our listeners want to know.
Okay, so what's the next category?
The next category is tactics. And they chose StarCraft, and I like StarCraft. I like StarCraft, so I vote for StarCraft.
I like the game. I like the pick. I think it fits all the way.
Good enough.
All right. Off to the races on that one. Command & Conquer was also in the list. I won't say solid. An above average game. There you go. Moving on. All right, that wraps up the DOS/Windows category and brings us into the first console, which was actually the third of the primary consoles released in this era. The Nintendo 64 came out after the Saturn and the PlayStation and boldly decided to stick with cartridge technology, citing like load times as being like too bad on the disc-based systems. Guess they had a point, but not enough of one. Anyway, Target Star Fox 64 wins. So we're revisiting Star Fox.
Now, I don't know if you guys read down, but I actually did read the little aside on this. Apparently, they could not use GoldenEye because of copyright restrictions.
According to...
you can't use the only game on the system people actually enjoyed playing. Star Fox.
But would GoldenEye have fit with Target as this first-person shooter? Well, now we're getting into the technological stage where first-person shooters can be considered in Target. So, yeah. And GoldenEye, holy crap.
Shooty.
What's that?
It's shooty. I give it Target.
Yeah. GoldenEye was awesome, man. I really enjoyed playing that game, especially playing split-screen multiplayer. I don't know how the hell we did four people on a screen with those blurry-ass graphics, but we did. And we had a time. That game was awesome. But, Star Fox 64, I guess, was a game, too, that won, somehow.
It was.
But it only won because they couldn't use GoldenEye. They couldn't show GoldenEye in the exhibition because of copyright. I think
this is actually very interesting. It only won because GoldenEye had the most amount of votes and was not able to be used. So instead of including a third game that could have been used, they just like, well, you came in second place. Get up there.
I don't understand. The GoldenEye copyright restrictions have been like, they're so jealously guarded. Nintendo, they weren't able to release a GoldenEye sequel without like sacrificing a baby or something. I don't understand what the deal is with the GoldenEye copyright, but what a shame that even for the sake of art, those rules couldn't have been set aside.
So strange.
So Star Fox 64 wins by forfeit. We'll leave it at that. Moving on. Adventure. The winner for Adventure.
Let me guess.
Go ahead, Rick. What you got there?
Legend of Zelda / something.
Correct. In another sparse field of like passable games on the N64, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time wins. It was a really good game. I really am not going to take anything away from it. They also listed Majora's Mask, which I never played, so I can't stack it up against Ocarina of Time, but I thought Ocarina of Time was good. Since we play loosey-goosey with the term adventure, though, I can't say anything else.
Since Zelda has been so underrepresented otherwise, I'm all for including it here.
Yeah, me too. It's about time Zelda got its due on the Nintendo Entertainment
System. I mean, graphically, it is pretty good-looking, so it could have won just based on art. Then you look at...
It had, like, four colors on screen at any one time.
Really? Yeah, the N64, they had a lot of trade-offs.
Something else in that category, though, is that Paper Mario game, which, I mean, that's kind of like breaking a whole new style and stuff there, so I'm surprised that didn't win.
I would say that might have been more worthy in terms of, like, style, and a game that certainly should have won in the adventure category, because one of the best RPGs made, one of the most beautiful RPGs made, was Super Mario RPG, which was for the Super NES. So I'm going back in time and pulling a Super NES game forward to win for the N64. I'm so sorry. I vote for Super Mario RPG for the Super NES to be the best adventure game on the Nintendo 64. Because the field is just empty.
And I vote for Choplifter on the Game Boy to be the best PlayStation game ever.
I love it. Sorry about that, guys, but we got to leave that in. That was funny. I mean, what else are you going to put up here for adventure? Turok Dinosaur Hunter?
No, because that would be under Target.
Quest 64.
Oh, yeah. Okay, this cool game called Super Magic Century L-Tale, which was like a action RPG in Japan with a cool Japanese sounding name, Super Magic Century L-Tale, was released for this N64 as Quest 64. And for reasons unknown, I didn't really set sales records. Huh. How about that? Also, I'm pretty sure they did an Ogre Battle game for the Nintendo 64, which wins in every category.
Super generic 64-bit Quest Time. Super fun time.
Ogre Battle wins by default. But
Ogre Battles does go to tactics, so okay, we can exclude it from here.
Oh, I just looked down the list. They did include that. Okay, great. Never mind. I retract that, but I still put Super Mario RPG up for a nomination, even though it's the wrong era. Anyway, moving forward from Adventure, where Legend of Zelda finally wins, we move over to Action, where, you know, I'm really happy that they went out on a limb here and just went for, like, a just right out of the clear blue, a title I never thought would have won, Super Mario 64.
Creative name, creative game, creative pick, and creative winner.
To be fair, the game that defined what was possible on the Nintendo 64 and all that would ever be possible on the Nintendo 64, because you can take a game from the end of that system's run and it's no better looking than Mario 64. It's like they built the hardware around this game.
Launch title and swan song.
Yes, honestly. What's a must-have game for Mario 64, or for the N64? Mario 64. Anything else? Yeah, get Zelda. Anything else? That would be the conversation.
And Battle Tanks.
Was Battle Tanks the...
Battle Tanks was the four faction. It was GoldenEye clone.
With the Queen Lords, right?
Yes, with the queens that you were trying to protect.
Yes.
Populate the Earths.
In that universe, all women had died out. There were, like, only a handful of women left on Earth, and they became queens because the men worshipped them, you know, because there were so few. We imagine that other professions might have sprung up, but queen works. So, yeah, Mario 64 wins, beats Banjo-Kazooie. I thought Banjo-Kazooie was graphically kind of an improvement on Mario 64, but okay. And Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, a game that demonstrated that fog could be used to cover up the polygon rendering limitations of your system. It reaffirmed that after Turok proved it, Shadows of the Empire came in and just drove the point home. Or I don't remember in what order they were released, but yeah, Star Wars, Fogs of the Empire. I liked that game, actually. But yeah, none of this really beats Mario, except maybe Banjo-Kazooie. Meh. It's the N64, what do you want? Okay, moving on. Tactics! Ooh, N64, home of some killer tactic games. Worms Armageddon being the winner. I know nothing about this. Guys, I don't even remember the display at this point. I think we had a child hanging on the display, so we might not have been able to get a good look at this one. Brian,
look what a mixed grab bag of games this is. Worms, Rainbow Six, and Ogre Battle.
Yeah, it's the N64. You're grasping at straws, man.
I felt like with this, the pick, it stuck with that. What Nintendo is now just pretty much commonly known for. Bubbly, stupid cartoon graphics that appeal to fucking six-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it just irritated me because it's an interesting game, those Worms Armageddon, but compared to putting that up against something like Tom Clancy Rainbow Six, it just doesn't even make any sense. I mean, first of all, you can't even compare the two graphic styles. One of them's clearly preschool favored cartoon graphics, and the other one is clearly not that.
Rainbow Six belongs under Target, doesn't it? Or not really? Or
I never played it, but I mean, most of the time, Rainbow Six games are like squad based, so. That's why I would think it'd be under the tactics.
That's real in common with SimCity.
So true.
Yeah, that's a good point. But either way, that Ogre Battle 64, you know, graphically, from looking at screenshots of all three, that's the one I would have picked to put in there.
When you say tactics and N64, the only game I think of is Ogre Battle 64.
I'm a little disappointed, I gotta point this out, that you guys aren't pronouncing the full name just because it sounds so awesome.
Sorry, it does. Please, Brian, go.
It's Ogre Battle 64, a person of lordly caliber.
I love it. When we were working in the game store selling this game, was it so titled? Yes, it was. I'm looking at the box now.
Yep.
I remember, we got like one unit in, and it sat on the shelf forever, to the point where I wanted to buy an N64 just to own it, and then I quit. But, you know, oh well. Anyway, I think that should have won. Worms Armageddon, who am I to argue? It's the N64. I want to be done. Anything else you guys want to add?
Nope.
Brian and I, we had a pretty big N64 hate club going at our place of employment during this era, so that's still evident today, I'm afraid, when you talk to us.
I loved the Super Nintendo so very much, and I wanted it to stay on top forever. I mean, it's synonymous to me, video gaming, Nintendo.
Yeah.
And they just, I don't know.
I'm going to skip on the list down to the next system that probably should have been the first system. This was the first system to be released in this era. Before, it was the Sega Saturn. It came before the slightly before the PlayStation and long before the N64, and was better than the N64. So, the Sega Saturn, Sega rolling in heavy, wanted them to succeed as much as I wanted Nintendo to succeed. And upstart Sony, I didn't know if I wanted them to succeed at all. I didn't care. But Sega, they were definitely going to kick ass with this system. And they released some really killer games, among which were the target genre winner, Panzer Dragoon 2 Zwei, or Panzer Dragoon II Zwei, or Panzer Dragoon Il Zwei, or whatever. However else a moron who came up and asked you for it pronounced
it. Working in a video game store, people butchered the names. We should do an episode on that.
Oh.
Panzer Dragoon 2 Zwei. Yeah.
2 Zwei. We could do a whole episode on mispronunciations, like Parasite Evil. Oh boy, never mind.
I got asked for Presidential Evil once.
Presidential Evil. Panzer Dragoon 2 Zwei. I love the Panzer Dragoon series, and I'm trying to think of shooters that weren't as good on Saturn. Saturn shooters. What is popping to mind? Yeah, I like Panzer Dragoon.
Why what was one released for?
Saturn.
Why wasn't one more groundbreaking and more artistic than two?
I had
that would be my
question.
Only complaint.
Two was a better execution on the same concept. One should have been Panzer Dragoon should have been listed here. Yes. It was prettier. I mean, I think people just liked that game better, so it won. But
it was more breathtaking, too. It was new when you saw it.
Correct.
It was different, and it was actually, you know, artistic, instead of just, oh, this is a sequel. We need more money.
Yeah. I mean, Panzer Dragoon 2, I mean, the system had kind of filled out, you know, in terms of the development community and stuff by then, so it looked better. And, again, it was better executed, but Panzer Dragoon could have just as easily have taken this spot. But I won't complain about Panzer Dragoon 2 because I thought the Panzer Dragoon series was really cool. Very artsy and different. Different. You didn't play a shooter like that until then.
Space and Harrier.
Since then either. You know, it was a quote unquote to borrow from the
You already played that card.
Display.
I know.
Well, it was an on rails shooter, as was Space Harrier. I mean, you were, but all shooters are on rails. It's not like you have free reign to go left, right, up, down for the most part, so. Yeah.
Apparently you've never played Missile Command, sir.
Missile Command, a dick. Cool. Apparently you've never played Burger Time. Okay, because I'm sure that would fit in here. So, God, if they'd done arcade, we'd have a real mess on our hands. Now I know why they did. They were having these conversations while planning the exhibition. All right, so I'm happy with Panzer Dragoon. Moving on to Adventure. Huh. I, as a fanboy, can't complain about Panzer Dragoon Saga, the actual role-playing game based on the Panzer Dragoon shooter series, winning, because I loved that game. I don't know if it was the only... If it could... All I have is those guttural noises I made. I don't know what else to say. Guys, jump
never
in.
I never played it. I have no idea. I just remember I used to walk around making fun of the name Panzer Dragoon. That's all I remember.
Yeah, it was a very Japanese-y inspired name. It made sense to them.
The only thing I knew of the Sega Saturn was some fighting game that was real popular when it first came out, and Saturn Knights.
Knights was awesome.
I had a really good eBay thing going back in the day with those Knight controllers.
Oh yeah, because they were rare?
Yeah, they were pretty rare, and I was able to, I don't know, I pulled one of my scams of grabbing stuff on clearance from one store and returning it at another store.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, for full price, and then using that money to purchase those controllers and then putting them up on eBay, so making a shit ton of cash.
Glad you did all right for yourself, sir.
Oh, because I was going to use the money to buy a system, a Sega Saturn system, and then by the time I got around to it, it was dead, so I didn't ever bothered.
That was when
what'd
it was
do,
dying.
Blink?
Exactly. By the time my eBay checks came in, the system was dead.
The best time to get in on the Saturn was in its during its dying years. I bought a, like a Saturn and everything for like I was home on leave from the military. I walked into Brian's and later my video game store where I ended up working and bought a used Saturn and all kinds of crap for like $50. I got a hell of a deal on it.
Nice.
Therefore, got to enjoy its final group of games that got released. None of which, let me see, made the list here for some reason. So,
I don't know if the community at large will appreciate how difficult it was to import games once upon a time. Mm-mm. The poor Saturn was the only system I've ever heard of where like big box retailers would just sell imports, and everybody was just like, "Yeah, it's fucking bad anyway. No, go ahead."
Yeah, I mean,
GameStop carried like a full line of imports for the system.
Right. What was the predecessor company? A predecessor company to GameStop that we worked at. We'll call Babbage's. I don't think we have Babbage's the trade name at this point. Yeah, they carried imports for the Saturn, and they carried some nice imports. And boy, it was great to get those on clearance. But poor Saturn indeed. God, it's poor Sega. Anyway. Panzer Dragoon Saga 1, I guess Shining the Holy Ark didn't make the cut for some reason. Which
How does Guardian Heroes not make it?
I don't know. Guardian Heroes was fantastic. Dark Savior, which was the sequel to Landstalker, made it. I'm kind of impressed by that. Yeah, there were a lot of games that could have made this. Panzer Dragoon Saga I loved, though, so I really can't complain. I just, like, here we go with Panzer Dragoon being represented twice. I guess they were trying to make a point. In fact, looking down the list, they were making a point. That takes us on to action. Oh boy. I can't think of any game that better represented an exclusive and groundbreaking experience that you could only have on the Sega Saturn, quite like Tomb Raider. Which won for some reason. Not Clockwork Knight. No! Which was a candidate and could have won. Or Night into Dreams, which introduced the concept of an analog controller to the public. No, no, no. Neither of those. Instead, Tomb Raider rolls in with the big win.
Unforgivable.
I think we can leave it at unforgivable.
I didn't even know it was out for that system.
Because you probably had it on the PlayStation or whatever other system you had. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, that thing was synonymous with the PS1.
What was that, Brian? The two copies they had were sold out?
No, I was saying it was so popular, it was just always sold out. That's why we didn't know it was...
Yeah, we couldn't keep Saturns in stock with that hot exclusive title. No, just no, guys, and nothing else to be said. Okay, moving on to tactics. All right, once again, you're not going to find this game on any other console. It's SimCity 2000 for the Sega Saturn. Wait, wasn't SimCity on the Super NES too? Ha! Huh, how about that? Well, I'm sure that it offered something that no other game on the Saturn offered, and so it won.
Yeah, 2000. The 2000 at the end of the title.
Yeah. Anything else to add here? I'm kind of...
No, I mean, there's even a repeat of Command & Conquer, which was the same as the other systems.
At least the other candidate, Blazing Heroes, wasn't exclusive. You know, you wouldn't want to do the Shining Force game that came out. That wouldn't qualify for sure. So I'm glad that that didn't make it. Okay, so SimCity. All right, whatever. That didn't come out for the PlayStation, I'm sure, or the PC, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it came out for the PC, at least.
It came out for Mac, came out for DOS, Amiga, Windows, NES, I mean SNES, Sega Saturn, PlayStation, N64, GBA. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it only came out for one system. The one system called every system.
Right, so why didn't it just win every system? Anyway, moving on. I don't... These cross-platform releases... just don't seem to fit, but unless they did a specific badass port for that system, but whatever. Moving on! Okay, now we're gonna get happy. Now we're gonna get over to the PlayStation, where they've got some decent picks for the most part. For Target, we're back to space shooters, side-scrolling space shooters, and I can't argue with this one stinking bit. It is a kick-ass, stand-out, nothing like it, side-scrolling shooter called Einhander. It was great.
It was it was one of my favorite shooters. I'm just going to say, though, given the choices, thank the gods it beat Point Blank.
I don't know. I don't even know what Point Blank was. But it beat Colony Wars 3, Red Sun.
Colony Wars was pretty good. I could kind of, like, go either way. If they had done Colony Wars, I wouldn't have hated them. But why is a light gun game?
Oh, God! Oh, God. Oh, I just... never mind. All right, yeah. Yeah, no. Glad it won. You just refreshed my memory about...
Because it's a target game, though, so it's the only reason why it was on there. Speaking of which, then how come Duck Hunt wasn't the winner for target game back on the SNES? Or the NES?
A fair question. Or Gumshoe. Yeah, a fair
weird
question.
There's a lot of new games being made that are like that Einhander game. Like that visual style with all the explosions and the side-scrolly space action. At least on the 360, what do you call it? Especially on like Xbox Live Arcade, a lot of the indie, there's a bunch of the indie style games, or actually indie made games, that you can pick up for a couple of bucks that are really reminiscent of that art style.
Well, then that just shows that Einhander like inspired, you know, later games then, because I mean I guess that speaks well of it as a choice, you know.
Yeah, and not done nearly as well, considering even with the age of that game, the new ones just can't compare. So
I wouldn't mind an updated re-release, not a sequel or a perversion in any way, but a re-release with even nicer graphics. But,
yeah,
that game was fantastic. Good choice. Okay, over to adventure.
Just because we were being so favorable to the decisions for the PlayStation, I am going to point out that one of the groundbreaking, truly artistic adventure games for the Sony PlayStation was a port of a Sega CD game from 5 years previous.
Yeah, they ported over one of the candidates that didn't win was Lunar Silver Star Story Complete, which was a port of Lunar the Silver Star Story for the Sega CD, which was amazing. And I have to question why that wasn't listed as a candidate for Genesis, because that game was awesome.
Well, actually, it's pronounced Lunar.
Yeah. Lunar.
Lunar, Story of the Silver Star. Yeah, the original Lunar on the Sega CD. Good graphics, awesome story, working designs, humor aside. And, like, cool, like, orchestral soundtrack because it was on CD. But that didn't make the cut. But it did make the cut as a port on the PlayStation. Okay.
But looking back, Phantasy Star 4 made the cut.
Yeah.
Instead of Lunar.
Well, dude, you gotta remember, it's probably popularity, and more people probably voted for the PlayStation version because probably more people knew about Lunar PlayStation version than the original.
Okay, I can buy into that. That explains another candidate that didn't win, Grandia, which was a port of a Sega Saturn game that had come out like a year or two before. A friend of mine imported that game, and then they ported it over to the PlayStation. So, Grandia. But the winner, and this is fair. I mean, it's not my favorite game in the series, but it was a system seller. This game was a phenomenon in itself. Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Pretty badass. I mean, Brian?
Yeah, artistic enough, too. Definitely a good choice for...
A story that has...
Art.
Yes, absolutely. Artistic enough, well-written. Yeah, the graphical elements were like the pre-render backgrounds with the polygon, you know, actors over them, and a story that we've debated for years afterwards, right, Brian? I mean,
yeah.
You know, and an ending that's very controversial, and our theory is that like all the humans died. You know, I'm sure we're not alone in that. But yeah, okay, I'll take Final Fantasy VII, no problem. Now action! All right, man, I can't wait to see what high-flying, frenetic game they came up with for this system, man. You know, this was polygons, we were moving fast, and they chose Metal Gear Solid as an action game.
The game whose point it was not to kill anybody.
Right, you were supposed to, like, sneak around, and, like, the best way to play it, not the only way, but the best way to win it was to go undetected and complete your objectives.
That screams tactic game to me.
Yeah, as much as Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six or whatever that other game does, yes. Metal Gear Solid is more... people can play them like action games, but it's clumsy and you die a lot. You're expected to like sneak and be like stealthy.
Yeah, the other stuff in the category I think would have fit better with the theme of the show, with the theme of every other choice that's ever been made in this category, and that's Crash Bandicoot and Oddworld. Both
yes.
Awesome games in my opinion.
Yes. Agreed.
I don't know about Crash Bandicoot being titled as the warped one. So it's probably
that was just three, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
So.
Just Crash Bandicoot in general, the very first one, they're all pretty similar. Of course, someone's going to argue with me about that. But when you're talking about visually, they're all pretty damn close. So if I had to break this one down to art style, as much as I love Crash, I don't know, that Oddworld game was so standout-ish and different than anything else, man. I was really surprised that that didn't show up.
And if I recall, exclusive. I don't know if I think that was a Sony only. It should have won. I thought Abe's Odyssey was incredible when it came out. Incredibly hard. I didn't do well at it, but it was a beautiful game. And went in new directions, yeah.
It came out for a couple systems, but I think it was an exclusive for a little while. And I don't know if that's fact, but I kind of remember it being specifically for PlayStation, and then after it grew in popularity, it spread to there was a PC version, Game Boy version, and actually shows here you could actually get it on Xbox Live Arcade, so I might have to look into that. It was a cool game, visually really badass.
Yeah, it was awesome. But okay, I like Metal Gear Solid. Not downing it, I just don't
love that game
in that category. Okay, moving on to where Metal Gear Solid might have been better, but now I'm glad it didn't get in there because the game that won, I really love and hate, but mainly love. Final Fantasy Tactics
wins in Tactics.
Beautiful game, gorgeous game. Had some annoying features that might have gotten the best of my temper a couple of times, but an awesome game nevertheless. However, I want to point out one of the runners-up that Brian introduced me to. Brian, you know which one I'm talking about looking at the list.
Oh, Carnage Heart.
Yeah.
That was way... That sold like 5,000 copies ever, so I understand why it didn't get approved, but excellent game.
That looks badass.
Carnage Heart.
Love it.
You programmed your units with like logic blocks. It was freaking cool, man.
You would unlock like AI routines that you could actually use to build a program.
Oh, dude, this looks really cool.
Yeah, Carnage Heart. I really thought that was going to be the beginning of a series, but
you could do so much with it too. I actually programmed machines to just basically walk forward looking for enemies, and when they found someone, to alert the other machines on their team, and they would all converge and fire on one.
Like seek and destroy, yeah.
That's badass.
But they would gang up on people. They would like, it was great.
How does that not win? There's no other games out there that are like that. Okay, I'm not going to say that there's none, but it's pretty unique.
Well, at a certain point, it is a popularity contest, and like even whoever passionately argued for Carnage Heart probably sat people down and like, wait, I got to program this? Oh no, I remember this game. I returned it like in 1997 when I bought it.
Yeah, and if we're going with the art thing, of course, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics is going to win over the other.
Tactics was an oddly popular game. I knew people I just never would have assumed would like it, but it was like, oh, it's Final Fantasy? Yeah, I'll play it. It's like 7, right?
I play it because it's a lot like some of the MechWarrior games I liked.
it looked great. You know, it had a really nice style to it and was well executed. The monster level-up system, which allowed chocobos to cast, like, meteor on you notwithstanding.
Having played... Jesus, forgive me. Was it 6 or 4? Like, you had to, like, pray real hard and unlock the, like, super-duper powerful Mateo?
4. You had
that
to
was
wish.
4, right?
You had to wish.
It was such a huge deal in 4. And, like, a fucking chicken walking down the street cast it on me.
Yeah. Yeah. A spell that was, like, high level. I just got, like, nuked by a chicken, basically, which is what a chocobo is. Ugh. Anyway, still love the game. It was damn gorgeous, and I did play through to the end.
Now, I brought up something that's near and dear to my heart, which is, like, hex-based strategy, like, mech style type games. Why didn't we see Front Mission for SNES or PlayStation?
Well, Front Mission only saw a Japanese release on the Super NES.
Oh, did it?
But it did get a domestic release on the original PlayStation, and right? Am I wrong about that? No, I think I'm right, and I don't know why. I don't know why it didn't.
And I mean, we keep seeing Command and Conquer, and this is something different and better. I mean, Command and Conquer, I always think PC. That'll always be a PC style game.
Me too. I keep seeing and ignoring Command and Conquer.
Yes, I know. We're not even bringing it up.
I'm not it's like my subconscious, like, I'm not a PC gamer. No thanks.
Right.
Although I am a PC gamer now. Okay, anyway. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Yeah, it's worth pointing out. That takes us to the last system in this genre, which came out last. In my opinion, belongs either in the next generation or in a bridge category, that being the Sega Dreamcast. Sega's final console system, and a system that was really good and was destroyed by all the hype surrounding the upcoming PlayStation 2. Poor Dreamcast. That's our common refrain. Huh, I miss it. All right, let's get right into the meat of this one. The winner for Target was Rez, a game I never played. Ryan?
Somehow I missed that one too, but the demo looked pretty cool. Like, I could kind of see that being impressive. And aside from my incredibly particular taste, I can't think of any other shooting games. I mean, like, I would have said Gigawing, but no one's ever heard of that, so...
Gigawing could have won, because that was a traditional shooter. But yeah, it wasn't artistic enough. Having seen the demo of Rez at the museum, I could see why. It's artsy. It's, like, very, like, looks like, what, like, a vector graphics or something like that?
Yeah, I actually had no idea that was even a Dreamcast game. I thought it was a strictly PlayStation game.
Yeah, I had no idea that it came out on the Dreamcast at all. So, poor Dreamcast and poor Rez. Blech, all right, I'll give it to the Dreamcast. I don't think the Dreamcast had any shooters that are popping out. And I was a Dreamcast fan, so... Yeah, moving on, Rez. Good on you, Rez. Okay, Adventure. Shenmue, however you're supposed to pronounce it. Critically acclaimed. Everybody who's played it loves it. Any argument here?
Looked neat. Like, art style, I could see why this one might have come in. It's got that whole semi-realistic look about it. Done a lot better than I saw in a lot of other stuff, so...
No complaints.
Yeah. One of the runners-up, Phantasy Star Online. First, like, online console kind of action RPG. A worthy competitor. And I don't know that I ever played Skies of Arcadia, though I had an interest in it. But we'll walk away with Shenmue being the winner. It was good. Action. Sonic Adventure.
I feel like this wins just for the same reason why Mario wins.
Yeah, finally Sega's mascot wins.
But speaking of underrepresentation, this is the first Sonic game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, except for Sonic CD, which didn't win, but that just seems wrong. I mean...
Although I will say the other candidate, Jet Grind Radio, was a little more innovative. It introduced cell shading and had a pretty unique style of play.
Yeah, when I think about Dreamcast, two of the games that really stick out are Jet Grind Radio and Crazy Taxi. And I don't know, just because they were popular and that's what got pushed in my face. I never had that system, so I can just go by what I remember people talking about or what I remember seeing commercials or in store for.
Yeah, I'll take Sonic. I mean, boy, the poor Dreamcast didn't have a long enough life cycle to accumulate a huge library of awesome games, so Sonic Adventure was good. Tactics. Choo Choo Rocket. I always thought of that as more of a party game than tactical.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, I guess it's a puzzle game.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why, like, Shining... Oh, wait. Oh, no. There were no Shining games on the Dreamcast. Yeah, the Dreamcast, like, lived a year. It didn't have time for, like, all those cool games to come out. Like, the Dreamcast was just killed in the cradle, man. So, I love Choo Choo Rocket. It was fun, and I guess it's the closest thing you can get to a strategy game that's not... Panzerfront or Rhapsody of Zephyr. Don't remember that game at all.
I just got Choo Choo Rocket like a week or so ago as the free app of the day. Yeah.
Gotta play.
Game's fun, man.
Okay, I gotta ask you guys a question because I don't know which category it would fit in, but I see a glaring omission on the technological front of Dreamcast, and that is with Seaman.
Yeah. Seaman was like a simulation. And I don't think they have a category for that.
I've got another one, just as far as, like, visual art goes. What happened to Soul Calibur?
I was thinking about Soul Calibur.
Is that the fighting game I was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for that matter, see, the fighting games weren't really featured because you also had Power Stone. Some of the best games on that system were fighters.
I think maybe Power Stone is the one I'm thinking of, dude. I don't know.
Power Stone was the... kind of blocky, like, free environment, run around, collect stones to become more powerful.
Oh, so it wasn't a fighter game, then?
No, it was like a fighting game, but it was an uneven playing field. The more crystals you had, well, the more stones, I guess, you had, the more powerful your fighter was.
Uh-huh.
And Soul Calibur was just fighting game, but the graphics were unreal.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. it was a next generation definer. But the fact that we had we remember the Dreamcast so fondly, but didn't have a lot to say, maybe kind of says a little about why it meant an early demise. Sorry, Dreamcast. Wish you had lived to join your cousins in the next generation, which is where we are now, baby. 2003 to current. So in this fifth era, next generation category, which spans 2003 to current, but from which the Dreamcast is glaringly missing, I just can't beat that point to death enough, we have a number of fine gaming systems, the first of which they have listed, Wikipedia has listed. Once again, thank you for being our tour guide. We should have just read the Wikipedia, guys. We wouldn't have needed to go to the museum.
True. It's not nearly as pretty, though.
Yeah, very true.
And some snot-nosed kid can't come by and slap it out of our hands at the last second.
Also true. You know what? I'm going to try to go from memory chronologically on these rather than just go through the list that they have. So, the PlayStation 2 is the first system I remember coming out during this era. And the PlayStation 2 was obviously the successor to the PlayStation, which was in the previous generation. At this point, Sony had established themselves as a dominant player, and so they decided to just tack 2 onto the name of their system, and here we are. And some interesting choices for the various genres, the first one being Target, which we've established as the home of many space shooters. So appropriate...
And a few real-time strategy games.
And I think like a Zork game made it in there at some point. But not really. So they appropriately chose Gradius 5. Gradius being a respected shooting series. I don't know that I would consider that the finest shooter on the PS2. But not a bad choice, in my opinion. You have any opinion, guys?
None.
I don't know 5 well enough to ask what it really added to the genre, but wasn't it pretty much the same thing as 1?
I mean, I guess in the same sense that Thunder Force is Thunder Force, from genre to genre.
PlayStation 2 had a big-ass library. I'm just kind of wondering why...
Yeah, I don't know what was so groundbreaking about Gradius to have caused it to win this, but I will admit to having sort of drifted away from the space shoot 'em up genre during basically from this point forward in my gaming career. So I can't take issue with it. Sure, Gradius 5, if you say so. It represents the genre more appropriately than Tekken or something. So. Can't complain. I guess that brings us on to adventure, which is the next genre for the PlayStation 2. And they chose... Okami! Which is the dog game, if I'm not mistaken, right? The paintbrush dog game.
Yes.
Not an experience that was exclusive to the PlayStation 2, unless I'm mistaken. And so I'm left to wonder why it beat out Final Fantasy X or X, depending on who you speak to, and Kingdom Hearts 2, which were the other candidates that they have listed here.
Yeah, see, for adventure, I don't get why it beat out either one of those. Visually, it was a pretty different game.
Yeah.
Than most things you had seen that did that kind of like wet board oriental style. Calligraphy drawing stuff. I thought it was pretty cool looking. Paper cutouts and whatnot.
Yeah, from artistic merit, I could see why it would win.
But we know that that's not the reason why they picked anything else on this list, so why start now?
Right, and I mean, the Disney universe written into an epic role-playing game is certainly artistically compelling, I think. And Final Fantasies are generally very beautiful games, but I wouldn't consider 10 to be a groundbreaker in any respect, would you, Brian? I mean, what?
No, I don't think so. I think 10 was more of the same, kind of. It was a great game. I'm not really knocking it, but I don't think it added anything amazing.
I'm looking at screenshots. It looks very PS one-ish.
Yeah, don't know why it won. Our people are getting in touch with the, you know, the museum's people, and we're going to have them on here to explain themselves in an upcoming episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. Stay tuned for that, people, you know, indefinitely, and if it ever happens, you'll be the first to know, because we don't have people, and if we did, their people probably wouldn't pick up the phone for them. So, moving on from adventure on the PlayStation 2, we shoot over to action. Ah, okay, so, you know... Action is where we're Shadow of the Colossus triumphs over other action-packed games on the PlayStation 2. I don't feel good about this choice.
It's up against God of War and Tony Hawk's Underground 2.
Tony Hawk's Underground 2 is a sports game, in my opinion, just because it's skating. I mean, nothing against skating, but...
Yeah, I don't understand how that's... And this is the first time we've seen... What happened to Tony Hawk, the regular? You know what I mean? The first one was badass.
Yeah,
And if we're going to include one skateboard game, why not all the other ones? And why not all the bicycle games that went along with it that were exactly the same game, except you were on a bike instead of a... I'm not shitting on those games. I actually like those games. Before they got hyper-realistic and exaggeratedly too fast and fake. But, like, the Tony Hawk original skateboard game was really badass.
Yeah, I don't know if it... Would you consider it an action game, though? I mean, I would consider...
No,
I
don't think so. It had action modes in it, maybe? But for the most part, it's more of a sports-type game. I mean, okay, well, let's go back to the old-school days. Did they call Skate or Die an action game? No, it was a sport game, so there you go.
It was, yeah.
California yeah. Games, sport game.
Yeah. Shockingly, God of War. I mean, I would say God of War is a pretty that epitomizes action, in my opinion, and is a pretty big franchise on the PlayStation family of consoles. So,
I've never played God of War or Shadow of the Colossus, but from what I know of those two, Shadow of the Colossus seems more like, I don't know, maybe an adventure game category.
Absolutely, yes. Brian, do you concur?
In my opinion, it would be, but they've blurred the lines so much already, I honestly don't even know how to... I'm just glad it made the list, kind of.
To put that differently, they used the brush from Okami to just do whatever they wanted with the lines.
True.
It seems like...
I will say, though, after seeing that little movie presentation of the Shadow of Colossus at the exhibit, made me want to get that game. It looks really badass.
They did a high def re-release of both Shadow of the Colossus and its sort of pseudo prequel, which was Ico, depending on how you pronounce it, for the PS3. So if you do get a PS3 so that you can play more Tokyo Jungle, you can play some Tokyo Jungle, Ricky. That would be a game you could pick up, and I think that collection's pretty cheap too.
Nice. All right. Well, the bricks are stacking in favor of possible. You know what? I'll pick up Keith's because I'm sure he hasn't played it since last time he was on the show. So.
All right. Oh yes. Right.
Maybe
yeah.
I'll get his. Maybe I'll get his for super cheap.
I like that idea.
Keith, you're listening. Keith, if you're listening. Hint, hint.
Ricky needs to play an adventure. I mean, action game.
Target game.
At least it wasn't on Target. Okay, that brings us over to Tactics. Tactics has been a pretty varied genre as we've made our way through each console. And in this particular instance, we find that Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, has won out for Tactics.
I will agree that it is a better Tactics game than Rainbow Six or Armored Core. So at least in their world, it makes sense.
And I agree that Metal Gear belongs more in Tactics than action, but I'm almost positive that Metal Gear, the first Metal Gear Solid game for the PlayStation 1, was placed under action.
In Armored Core 3, I don't think should be in Tactics at all. That's more action-y or Target game. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I just double-checked, and for the original PlayStation, Metal Gear Solid made it under action, but apparently it got a lot more tactical by the time we got to Sons of Liberty, which I don't remember being the case, but okay.
Is Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Lockdown, is that a squad-based game or no?
If it follows the... Aren't all the Rainbow Six games squad-based?
Because if it's squad-based, I can see it falling under tactics.
Or even if it's a sneak-around type of game. I could see either of those two being candidates. Armored Core, and I was a fan of at least the original Armored Core. More of a mech-building combat game.
Yeah.
I guess you have to be tactical in your upgrades so that you can win battles and, like, pick your battle, you know, choose your contracts and battles wisely. Maybe there's some tactical thinking that goes into that.
Reed Richards doesn't even stretch that far, guy.
I like that one. That's good. Eh, I'm not unhappy with Metal Gear Solitude: Sons of Liberty.
As the winner.
Yeah, winner for tactics for the PlayStation 2. I'm okay with that. Let's see, after the PlayStation 2, either the Xbox or the GameCube came out. I think the GameCube came out first, didn't it?
I think they're right around the same time. I think they're both around 2003, so
yeah,
your choice.
See. Let's go with GameCube. We'll work our way up in terms of system power, although the GameCube might be more of a lateral move from the PS2 than anything, if not even a slight downgrade.
I would definitely go downgrade, or maybe it's just the overwhelmingly amount of...
Kiddie games?
Yeah, well, I was going to say Game Boy games on a... full-size system, but whatever.
It was graphically
Super Game Boy.
It could do nice stuff. One of the games on this list is actually quite beautiful, so we'll get to that. But anyway, here we are over to the GameCube, the only system that sported a handle so you could carry it like a lunch pail. for reasons I don't understand. Okay,
to make all of those four-player parties much easier.
Yeah, because you can like lug it and its power brick and your four controllers over your friend's house so easily.
And a television.
Oh yeah, and a TV. And a CRT television. Yeah.
Because God forbid they made it so you could just hook up your Game Boy to it and use that screen. Oh, never mind, sorry.
Actually. is Crystal Chronicles on the list? No. Too bad.
Of course not, it's a good game.
Game was awesome. Alright, so, Target. Let's get into Target for GameCube. Huh, I never would have imagined that a Star Fox game would have made the cut on a Nintendo system. Star Fox Assault.
It's just comical at this point. I mean...
It's puzzling to me. Like, they're trying to be very consistent with some things. Or they just, like, filled in the blank. I don't really know. Huh, another Star Fox game. But, thinking about the GameCube... not a lot of shooters stand out. And so Star Fox it is. Eh, whatever. That's my opinion on this one.
Up against Alien Hominid and PN03, which I don't even know what that is. And
oh,
Alien Hominid
God.
Is a Flash game, so...
PN03 was the best PN game. It took PN02 and, like, just turned it on its head, man.
What's PN?
And in all fairness, if you're going to have a Flash game, the Wii's, the GameCube is the place to have it.
Yeah, it's true.
I have no effing idea what PN is, but...
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at the cover. I remember seeing this. It's a Capcom game. Product number 03, third-person shooter video game.
It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, Devil May Cry similarity type of thing.
Huh. I wonder if I can track that down for the GameCube. Maybe it's a decent game.
Gameplay-wise. It looks cool. I like the way it looks.
Yeah. God knows my GameCube library could use, like, a fourth game. So,
Now that it's in the closet.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, whatever. Star Fox wins. I don't care. Moving on to Adventure. Full disclosure, the GameCube is held in slightly higher esteem by me than the N64 was, so which isn't saying a lot. Alright, Adventure. Any guesses?
It's It's a toss-up between Mario and Zelda.
Well, it's Zelda, the Wind Waker. Okay, I'll accept it. Tales of Symphonia was an RPG, right? Yeah, it was part of that series of games, right? Tales games. Anyway, that was alleged to be decent, but that did not win. It lost out to Zelda the Wind Waker, as did Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. Adventure, huh?
Wasn't that in the past? Wasn't that in action area? I don't know. You know, it's weird because both of these games are pretty much like newcomers to a style. You know what I mean? The Paper Mario is definite. I mean, I don't know if it's definitely the first one, but is a definitive style for sure that I don't remember seeing on any other games before that one. And then, you know, like the cel shading on the Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with this. I've never played any of the Paper Mario games. I don't know if they're more action-y than, or even more adventure-y, if they have like adventure-y elements that the, you know, typical Mario games don't possess, or if they're kind of action RPG or something like that.
Yeah, so Brian, with that being said, that's just our ignorance talking at this point right now. But we're okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, I'm Tom's Ignorance, and I sound just like and look like and actually am Tom.
And I'm Rick's Ignorance, and I will bitch about games that I've never played.
One thing our ignorances have in common is that we make up words like ignorances and that we have strong opinions with no basis. Okay. Moving on to action. We've got... Okay, I like this. I like this because I played it mainly. Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. I played it and it just seemed like more Metroid Prime, but a lot harder. And, okay, admittedly somewhat prettier, and you did have this duality thing going on. But wasn't that a shooter before? Weren't first-person shooters, like, in the Target genre at some point during this exhibition?
I believe so.
I guess Metroid wasn't quite as targety as Halo.
It was pretty targeted, dude. It was a first-person shooter. But, yeah, you did have puzzles to solve and stuff.
Prince of Persia is a pretty good fit for this category, though.
Because it's, it's like a platform game, right? I mean, that's what you think of when you think action.
I do, and
Metroid Prime, you're right about that, Brian. It had some platforming, like you had to jump, you know, and grapple and things like that. So it did capture certain elements, and it was a very pretty game. Again, I have no dog in this fight. I'll accept it. Do you gentlemen concur?
Concur.
Close enough.
So on to tactics, where a respected strategy series, Fire Emblem, along with a game called Battalion Wars, both lose out to the winner, Pikmin 2.
I think those Pikmin games are pretty cool. But I think it's more puzzle than tactic, especially when paired up with these other, or when it's placed in the same listing as these other two, which are clearly tactical strategy style games.
Yeah. I mean, Fire Emblem is in the vein of Final Fantasy Tactics, unless I'm mistaken, right?
100%.
So, yeah.
So is Battalion Wars. It's basically Advanced Wars before Advanced Wars came out for, you know, the other stuff.
Yeah, so why Pikmin?
I kind of feel like I'm being too quiet, but I've just said it all before. And didn't Battalion Wars pretty much spawn like 30, 40 games across like 5 or 6 systems?
That's what I thought.
Wait, was Battalion?
Did Pikmin get a sequel?
Yeah, Pikmin and Pikmin 2, and Pikmin 2 is the one that won this list.
Was Battalion Wars? Are you sure that was related in some way to Advance Wars, or...?
Yeah, dude, the artwork's... Well, graphically, they look almost identical. Even on the covers and stuff, they look the same.
Really?
I mean, I am the least official Nintendo person here, but I do love my handheld Nintendo stuff, and, you know, I have the Edge of Days, or whatever it's called. I have both of them, and I mean, this looks exactly like it.
Then it's hard to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so much so that it was one of the things that I was like, oh, if I could ever get a GameCube at the flea market for $3, I'll probably pick it up just so I could play, you know, Advanced War Styles game on a big screen.
Well, you can, and you should. Yeah, so if that's the case, then I don't know why that wasn't selected, and instead Pikmin 2 was. Tactics. Okay. We don't agree. We at the Nerd Extravaganza do not agree with this choice of Pikmin 2. That concludes the GameCube. Now we move on. We move on to the most powerful system.
And largest.
And in terms of square footage, largest console ever created. The PS3 tried really hard to compete. The Xbox. Now, I want to point out that the Xbox, the PS2, the GameCube, and the Dreamcast were all a generation previous to the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the Wii. But they're all kind of just lumped into this next generation category. So I don't quite understand. Maybe they just didn't want to do like another category.
I guess.
They ran out of wall space.
Yeah. So whatever. Xbox was probably the most technically capable system of that era. And some interesting choices. Just glancing at them, I don't necessarily disagree with all these choices. Let's just jump right in. For Target, the woefully underrepresented Panzer Dragoon saga wins out with Panzer Dragoon Orta. The only Panzer Dragoon game I've never played. But if this does anything to bolster their claim that it should have won for Target, it did prompt the release of a special Panzer Dragoon Orta edition of the Xbox in Japan, which I believe was like white or pearl colored and maybe even had a special controller. Point being, Panzer Dragoon was a big enough deal that it caused a special edition of the system to be launched in Japan. So maybe that's why it won.
How is this not a Halo game?
Well,
I mean, I kind of know the answer, but like, it's not a Halo game.
Yeah, I mean, are FPSs Target? Are first-person shooters Target, or are they action? I mean, it seems like they've tried to carve out action as platformy, shooting, fighting. Yeah, so you think Halo would have made a lot more sense here, bottom line.
Then another iteration of... This is the fourth one now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not exactly trying to say Halo is the most original thing in the universe or anything, but I don't know. I would just really like more variety.
Well, the thing is, once Panzer Dragoons come in there for the win, you've just got to keep it in this slot forever now. Like, even if they don't ever put out another Panzer Dragoon game, they're going to, like, bring old ones back and let them win on future systems. Yeah. It would seem like they could have gone with a lot of other selections, maybe for the Xbox, but they went with Panzer Dragoon. Man, I'm a fan, so I don't complain, but I don't know if I agree. Ricky, any comments?
Never played it. Have no idea.
A resounding show of indifference by Rick. So we move on. So now we move on to adventure. And their choice in the adventure genre was Fable. I do not disagree. Fable, the original Fable game, was really cool and did a lot for the action RPG. I don't want to use genre again, but game type. And I don't disagree with its choice.
No, I think this is actually a good choice. This was an interesting new approach to things. I like this one. I'm glad Fable 2 wasn't on the Xbox for them to skip it.
Or they would have. I think their logic was, wait, oh, they did a sequel? That had to be better than the first one, so choose that one.
And that was going up against Indigo Prophecy and... I have no idea how to pronounce this.
Shenmue 2.
Shenmue 2. Back.
It's actually pronounced Twa.
I'm okay with Fable winning here, really. I mean, Shenmue was a continuation of the original Shenmue, a sequel to that, and Shenmue was itself hailed as a really innovative title.
Shenmue 2, Back to Sea World? Is that what this is?
Free Shenmue 2, Free Shenmue, yes. Now, Fable is pretty quintessentially adventure in my mind, so a spiritual successor to Adventure, but unlike Adventure, it won. In the adventure category.
Of cool. Adventure.
Of adventure. So, Fable wins adventure, taking us to action. Well, Brian, you got your wish, because the winner in the action category is Halo 2.
Up against Jet Set Radio Future and Psychonauts.
Psychonauts.
I think Psychonauts got robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, as an action game, considering like Mario games have won in this genre before, and
right.
Halo is a first-person shooter.
Right. I agree.
Most peculiar their choice. But Brian wished for a Halo game, and he got his wish, and they jumped right to Halo 2. They skipped the first one.
At least it wasn't Tactics.
Look, if you guys keep complaining, I'm going to bring Diablo out and plop it right down in Target again. Watch it. That takes us to the final genre for the Xbox, which is Tactics. And the candidates were Steel Battle Lion, also known as Steel Battalion, for people who can actually pronounce things correctly. Sid Meier's Pirates... and Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, which was the winner. Splinter Cell. Tactical, I guess, right? It was either squad-based or sneaky-based.
Sneaky-based.
There are tactics in that.
This game is badass, man, so I don't know if I want to say I like this choice because of my love for the game or because it's actually tactical.
If I remember, this is the game where you just blend it into, like, blackness, right?
Yeah, and you had the shadow meter. This fucking game is awesome, man. We actually took this... We had this out on tour with us one time. And screw after parties and groupies and getting drunk. Dude, we hopped off stage or either after the show or after a sound check, and it was like, dude, I'm sneaking in the shadows. Sneaking in the shadows. So me and the love of this game go way back.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's a tactical enough element to this for it to win. I'm not sure about Steel Battalion necessarily being a contender for tactics. I could see Pirates, but Steel Battalion was a bizarre choice.
I can't see Pirates.
Didn't Pirates get the nod earlier on though?
Yep.
Couldn't see it then.
More like a simulation game. Yeah, maybe there were too few categories, so they had to be really broad.
Yeah, even, you know, Steel Battalion is generally known as an action vehicle simulation game, so...
Yeah.
Did have a sick controller, though.
Yeah. I mean, if there was a gadgetry category, it would win, just overall. Or gimmick category. All right, so Splinter Cell. And, whatever. I don't care enough to argue. I just can't think of anything else on Xbox that would have won. Well, I probably could.
Given such a huge field to choose from, I think it's kind of funny that it's harder to choose something.
Yeah. Maybe that, like, once they get an example in mind, I think it's more, you're right, it's more difficult to go back out into that ocean of games to fish for, you know, the type that you want. Once you've sort of zeroed in on Pandas, you're like, hey, they did one for this system. Yeah, that works, right? And so they had a Tom Clancy games had sort of made the cut before, so I guess that narrowed their focus, right?
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Rich, where are we off to next?
Well, before we get into the actual current slash next gen of systems, I thought we would get into modern Windows, which they included in this category during this era.
Which I actually thought was far more bizarre than the Windows 95 thing that they included earlier.
Well, remember, PC gaming started with Windows 95, so...
Right, so that made way more sense. Why
there was no PC gaming to speak of before Windows 95.
And I'm going to say that my original reason for thinking that this was included was because we were going to see winners of things like World of Warcraft and stuff like that, but I think we may be surprised.
I think we'll be... Yeah, we'll be quite surprised. Let's do this. Okay, Target. The winner for Target is Flow.
I don't even know what it is.
Don't you control like a feather or something and like float
around?
Yes,
yes. I thought this was just like some experimental thing.
Me
that
too.
That was like not even ever officially a real game. I thought it was like some guy's like, you know, programming thesis or some shit.
His final project at the Art Institute before he graduated.
They
showed some screens of, or they showed some videos of it. It looked gorgeous, actually.
Yeah, it does look neat, but... Yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones where if this was completely always based on art, I would have to agree 1,000%. But since it's not, you'd figure a game called Everyday Shooter might be their go-to.
You know, they don't have a lot of space shoot-em-ups, I guess, on the PC. But I want to say, I mean, the PC ecosystem is so, to get back to Brian's point, broad, that I can't believe that that's what they came up with.
No Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Team Fortress?
Right? No, like, they didn't... Don't they have, like, a million and one, like, awesome fighter plane simulations? Because, like, in the old PC era, I believe TIE Fighter won. So why wouldn't modern gaming follow suit?
Who knows?
Tom wonders. Yeah.
Oddball category, oddball choices, oddball winner.
Yeah.
What do we have for adventure?
Adventure is the next category. So as we jump into adventure, we are... Oh, the candidates. Okay. The candidates were World of Warcraft, Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, and Fallout 3. And they chose Fallout 3 as the winner.
You know why? Because World of Warcraft's an MMO, and there's no category for MMO.
Right.
But I would still, you know, shoehorn it into adventure, in this list at least.
They don't show a lot of love to MMORPGs, and you can make the argument that World of Warcraft really introduced that genre to a lot of people who knew nothing about it.
Dude, I honestly think that PC gaming would be dead and gone if it wasn't for World of Warcraft. That thing has kept the PC gaming market afloat for God knows how long.
At least until Steam has now come along and made it like an Xbox, basically.
Right.
Very expensive Xbox. Brian, I know you've got to have an opinion here.
When I think Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, I think Xbox. And when I think Fallout 3, I think Xbox.
Yep.
And when I think World of Warcraft, I think the game that kept PC gaming in the forefront. And
World of Warcraft, the game that made every other game company in the world strive to do what they did. How could it not win? I don't even like
this actually
game, and
like,
I'm voting for it.
This would have been a good category, too. It's not really Target. It's not really action. It's not tactics. It's actually in the right category for once, and they still just, like...
Yeah, it's not replicated on a console. Like, I could play both of those other games on a console.
And very likely did, if you played them at all. And...
Yeah, that's why I played Old Republic on the Xbox. That game was great. Yeah, okay. So I don't know why they chose that.
Fallout 3 was the winner.
Yeah. That takes us over to action. Okay.
Or Halo 3 was the winner.
Actually, now, I'm unfortunately, guys, I didn't really do my homework when we got to the, or my classwork when we got to Modern Windows. I don't even remember that being in the exhibition. And Wikipedia is not being helpful in that they have highlighted two games, Half-Life 2 and Portal, and the loser was Call of Duty World at War. You could take a Call of Duty game, which is by no means a unique experience, and chuck it. I could see that not winning.
If I remember correctly, the actual winner, at least who we saw at our version of the exhibition, was in fact Portal.
Okay, I agree with that choice then, because Half-Life 2, as much as it improved on the original Half-Life and added a lot of cool stuff like the, I think it was like the gravity gun and all this other awesome stuff, as good a game as that was, Portal was pretty unique.
Yeah. That was kind of, it won on a lot. For me personally, it has the capability of winning on multiple levels, so I don't disagree with this choice at all.
Cool.
If I were going to nitpick, and I am, I would say the same thing I always say. I thought this was an Xbox game.
Portal?
Yeah.
No, Portal was PC.
Not PC. Oh, I mean...
What's that?
Didn't this come in the orange box for...
Oh, yeah.
It did, but I think that was... I'm the only person I know that's played it on PC, on console, not PC. Kimberly played it on PC. She laughed at me when I told her I was getting it on Xbox.
You're actually not wrong, Brian. It did come out on an orange box pack or whatever, but I think Portal was originally some kind of a academic project that was so promising that it got picked up and released as a game, and that was all originally on the PC.
Yeah.
Whereas Call of Duty, you know, was like a multi-system, you know, was released on everything. And was intended to have been released on everything, you know, on consoles and PC, I'm sure, from its inception. But yeah, so to you, the first-person shooter doesn't even stand out as quintessentially PC.
No, not really.
But what does, then, in the way of action? It's like, you know, I don't know what else you could throw in there. You could do a Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that's about it, really.
Yeah, or an old King's Quest game. Oh wait, no, sorry, that was from back before there was PC gaming, before Windows. Never mind. I'm not bitter.
Hunt the Wumpus isn't on here anywhere, is it?
I believe so.
Tactics.
Tactics brings us out of tactics. Then we'll be done with Modern Windows. Candidates were StarCraft 2, The Wings of Liberty, Age of Empires 3, and Minecraft.
Huh. I love Minecraft, but I don't think it should have been in this list, and I don't think it should have won in this list.
Tactics, Minecraft. I'm baffled.
I am too.
I'm three.
It's computer graphic Legos. And fun, but tactical? How? Well, I guess you have to come up with a way to play the game to make it interesting so you don't lose interest, but...
Well, then why didn't, Second Life win? Because there's
true,
a game
true, true. There you go.
The onus is totally on you to have fun, because God knows they don't do anything to make it fun.
There you go.
Okay. It's triple at a loss.
I could see Ages of Empire or StarCraft 2 because, you know, they're both kind of that real-time strategy style type game. But Minecraft just makes no freaking sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I could have seen either of those winning, but Minecraft is puzzling to me. So.
All right, so Modern Windows, you have confused us like a 80-year-old grandma.
Modern Windows just blue screened on us.
I feel old.
Okay, Modern Windows, bye-bye. That brings us on to modern consoles. We're not really next generation. This is current gen. And this group includes the Xbox 360, the Nintendo Wii, and the PlayStation 3.
which I believe were released in that order. So let's jump into the Xbox 360. What I consider the reigning champion, but I'm sure people would argue with me. In Target for the Xbox 360, okay, we've got Geometry Wars 2, Retro Evolved. So, Brian, what do you think of the choice of Geometry Wars 2, Retro Evolved? I know you were a fan of Geometry Wars.
Yeah, out of the entire Xbox 360 catalog, I mean, it was really pretty, but it was Robotron. I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really starting to feel like a hater, and I enjoyed the exhibition. I recommend you go, but I don't see what they're seeing here.
Yeah, I'm more than a little.
It's a space shooter. They had to choose it.
I guess. I mean, now that I'm thinking about the 360, what have we had in the way of space? I'm sure there's been better stuff just on Xbox Live in the way of space shooters.
Probably. But since we can't think of any, who are we to argue?
Right, right. At least something completely inappropriate wasn't chosen. So screw that. Moving on to Adventure on the Xbox 360. We've got the candidates were Mass Effect 2, Limbo,
and
Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. Huh. Excellent games all, actually. And would you say Limbo is adventure or action, though, in terms of being a candidate? It didn't win. Doesn't matter. I should first say that Mass Effect 2 won. And then ask that question again.
Since we've commonly referred to, I think you're on an adventure, but you're on an adventure through a platform style game, if you had to categorize it. So I think you're right. I think it's in the wrong category.
Mm.
But a badass game. 18 thumbs up for me. I love that game.
Okay. And the winner was Mass Effect 2 over Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
I only agree, well, I don't even know if I agree with that. Because Mass Effect, I mean, yes, it's adventure-y, but it's also very shooty, so I don't know, it's kind of hard.
It just bothers me that the sequel won again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
Because you gotta look at it, like we've said a million times, if it was, the first one was good enough to make a sequel, why didn't the first one win?
Yeah,
it's not like it was in a different era and couldn't have been on the list. So
Mass Effect 2 wasn't so substantially different than Mass Effect 1 that it needed to, that it stood out on its own, in my opinion.
Right, right.
At Elder Scrolls, by contrast, Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion was the first Elder Scrolls games on the 360. The previous one was, what was that one called? Drawing a blank. Brian, what was that one called? Morrowind, yes. The previous one being Morrowind on the Xbox. At least this was the first representative of that series on this system, so I could see it kind of winning.
And if people are wondering why Skyrim's not on that list, it's because I believe the polling for this whole exhibit was done before its release. So just want to throw that out there.
Which also explains why Mass Effect 3 wasn't the winner.
Exactly.
Which it would have been by default, simply because it had a 3 instead of a 2.
Exactly.
Actually, it explains a lot of the stuff coming up in the next genre, too, which is action. In the action category, candidates were... This is great. Gears of War 2, because 3 wasn't out. I guess. Halo 3, because 4 wasn't out. BioShock, because 2 wasn't out. And the winner was BioShock because 2 wasn't out. And that's an action game.
If it's not a Target game, I'm glad it won action.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... I was going to say, I would feel like it's more Target, but who knows. It's a fun game, I like it.
Wouldn't something like Assassin's Creed be more appropriate for action, though?
Yeah. There you go. How come that's not on the list?
Don't know.
But, I mean, we know why, but it's because people voted in. You know what I mean? But I was part of this voting. And even I don't understand this because, you know, it was supposed to be based on visuals of the game. I mean, you can't deny BioShock looks absolutely sick. But a lot of these games have won, and that has had nothing to do with it. So who knows?
But so first-person shooters are now firmly action games, we've decided. And so BioShock... Okay, if that's the case... BioShock,
they've decided we've conceded.
Yeah.
I don't think they've decided anything.
But we have conceded, to Rick's point. They have... They've arrived at some sort of a shaky consensus, and we have reluctantly conceded. Like BioShock, okay, don't hate it. You win.
Tactics!
Tactics! Alright, here we go! The candidates were Halo Wars, Darwinia Plus, with plus next to it, or Darwinia, however you say that, and Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-Earth 2. I don't remember playing many tactics games on the Xbox 360, though I know there had to be at least one Tom Clancy game, so I don't know why that didn't win by default.
If we're going to include Xbox Live Arcade games, why isn't there a tower defense game here?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why isn't that Madness game that I like on here? Come on, what's it called? I'm drawing a blank.
Marble Madness?
No.
Because that's a big winner. Madness game.
It's some game with hexes and you move the guys around.
Oh, Military Madness, Nektaris.
Yeah, Military Madness, yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic game too, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure why they chose what they chose.
All right, so who won?
The Lord of the Rings, The Battle for Middle-Earth 2 was the best tactics game released on the Xbox 360.
Wasn't that the one with, like, you had, like, the big, like, massive battle, like, massive crowds of people fighting against each other?
I think it was.
I'm thinking of the movies.
No. I don't think
the game was much different.
I think I remember this game receiving some fanfare, so I guess it's not really surprising that it won. No, yeah, you had, like, the units and stuff battling one another.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. I mean, there were a zillion games that could have been chosen why this one was. I have no idea. It doesn't fit the normal tactics mode, but model, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're done with Xbox 360.
Versus, I love you, Xbox 360, but we're moving on.
I love you, too. I just don't understand why games that I love aren't represented here.
Hey, if I had to base my like or dislike for Xbox 360 based on this list, I'd fucking throw it away right now.
Me, too. R2 would be getting phone sent to the trash compactor.
Yeah, I don't know Wii.
Wow. I mean, I was a die-hard Sony guy until like PS3 came out, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it, so I didn't have any system after PS2 for the longest time, and then I picked up the R2-D2 360, not just because it was R2-D2, that had a lot to do with it, but it definitely wasn't based on this list of games. So yeah, I'm looking back at my newfound fandom and in confusion. So please, let's move on.
Okay.
Before I go smash that thing.
Let's move on to a system. The system that came out next. This will be easy because I think I'm the only one that owns one. The Nintendo Wii, which chronologically came next, but probably belongs like back before the Dreamcast in terms of its power. That's not fair. It has a novel control system. So novel, in fact, that it provided notable gaming experiences such as Boom Blocks, which was the winner for Target. I have absolutely no idea what Boom Blocks is.
I saw the movie for this at the exhibit. It made me like it. It looked cool. Mm. Target game? No, it's a puzzle party game.
Yeah, they had Conduit, they had the Metroid Prime game, they had some shooters, they had the Resident Evil port. Was it Resident Evil 4, Brian?
Yeah, it was four. Which,
let you use the Wii controller as a gun. They had candidates that would have worked better.
Didn't they have Mad World?
They did. Well, yeah, was Mad World a shooter?
Yeah, it was a first-person shooter, I thought.
Well, then that would be another candidate. They had better candidates, I think, than this Boom Blocks game.
Boom Blocks is kind of almost like, this is going to be really bad to say this, but Jenga-esque.
Oh, but it's definitely Target then. Absolutely.
Right. I still could be wrong in saying it's Jenga-like, but it's definitely not any... It has no association with anything that's been in this category from the beginning till now. It's literally a puzzle game. It's like Tetris that explodes and then colors fall and make boxes and stuff. So, yeah, it's not...
I'll ask the obvious question. Have they not made a Star Fox for the Wii? Because shouldn't that win?
Yeah, you're right. Where's... Or a Panzer Dragoon.
Look down at Tactics.
Oh, don't even tell you. Star Fox would be better Tactics, probably. Okay, so Boom Blocks. Yeah, I love that game, man. I have a sealed copy of myself for $5,000.
I'll buy it.
Really?
It looked interesting.
Okay. $5,000. Wire me that money. Moving on. Adventure.
What do we got?
All right. Don't pick the winner until I read them all, because there's three interesting candidates. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, Super Paper Mario, and Monster Hunter Tri. I guess Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword wasn't out yet. So Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess won. It was a good game. It deserved to win, I guess, as much as any other Zelda game deserved to win. But Monster Hunter introduced, in the Nintendo world, some significant online play, and you basically are in this world where you're like hunting giant monsters, like partying up with people and stuff. I liked that game a lot and felt that it should have won. Just to break the Zelda...
Right.
You know.
You guys might argue that it goes in the next category, but I'll mention it now just in case. Where's No More Heroes?
Who?
No More Heroes. Yeah, No More Heroes. I'm going to say that No More Heroes belonged in the action category, but my God, you're right. That should have won.
That should have won something.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
we get another Zelda and another Mario.
Yeah, that we do. I don't quite understand either. Hmm. And you know, there were some proper RPGs released for the Wii as well. But instead, Zelda won. Zelda's such a good game that I can't really argue with. It's just, they just over and over, Zelda's the best thing to come out on the Wii, I guess.
I mean, you do think there's 15 video games ever from this list.
Right.
Right, like Zelda just keeps winning. I mean, I guess on Nintendo systems, their first-party stuff tends to be their best stuff, so that's why, but still, sad. Plus, probably nobody owned a Wii. Just like our group. Moving on to action. Super Mario Galaxy 2 beat out competitors Metroid Prime Trilogy and Epic Mickey.
I really have a problem with the trilogy being on there, because isn't this actually a game that won for a different system?
Yeah, Metroid Prime Trilogy... wait, was that the third game, or was that a re-release of like previous games plus the third game?
I think that was the re-release with the previous winner on it. Echoes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it had all the games on it. I actually have this... I thought they made a new Metroid Prime game just for the Wii. And yeah, I'm kind of curious why they brought ports of games from the GameCube over.
Yeah, this one has Prime, Echoes, and Corruption.
Yeah, Corruption was the one that came out for the Wii. Now, if that was a candidate, I could buy it. But instead, they brought this game out that had the GameCube titles plus that. Plus Corruption. I don't understand that. Plus, shouldn't that be under Target? Anyway.
Super Mario Galaxy 2 was a continuation of Super Mario Galaxy 1. Super Mario Galaxy 1 was in and of itself a beautiful, groundbreaking game, but they chose Super Mario Galaxy 2 because there is no Super Mario Galaxy 3 or 4 or 5.
Wasn't 2 pretty much an expansion pack?
It was an extension. It was a extension of the
game. It was
the same
damn game, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Now, Epic Mickey is a somewhat flawed game in its mechanics. It's not perfect. The camera and certain things leave a lot to be desired. But I really liked that game. It captured a lot of Disney essence, had great music, looked beautiful. And the whole paint and thinner system that you use was really neat.
Yeah, I think for that alone, it should have beat out the Mario, just because it was different, had a different way to play it. You're playing it in a way you've never played a game before.
Yeah, and you're basically making your way through the Disneyverse, and the portals you use to get from one part of the universe to the other are like classic Disney cartoons, complete with like kind of theme music inspired by the music that was in those original cartoons.
The whole paint thinner thing is, you know, you can either paint things in, thin them out. It was a cool way to switch up that genre that you'd kind of seen a million times before. That tiny little twist made it a very unique game. So
right.
Kind of sucks it didn't win.
You have an option to use paint or thinner on your enemies or on puzzles, and it sort of changes the game depending on your choices.
I'm guessing it didn't win simply due to the fact that then they would have to get licensing from Disney in order to put it in the museum and blah, blah, blah. So, hey, we've already got the rights for Super Mario. Let's just go with that.
You know, I didn't even think about that. Once they had secured rights for a lot of these winners, it was probably no big thing to just keep rolling with that theme.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got for tactics? On the Wii,
Oh, I missed a nice transition. I see what the museum's tactics are now.
Nice.
Speaking of which, all right, the winner for tactics was Zach and Wiki Quest for Barbados Treasure, which beat out Little King's Story and Battalion Wars 2.
Well, this Zack and Wiki game seems very much like a platformer game to me. It seems like it's a different version of Mario or Epic Mickey. How it's tactical, I don't know. Puzzle, you gotta play puzzles in it, but you gotta do that in the Mickey game too, so I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, it's puzzling. Oh, no pun intended.
But once again, we see true strategic / tactical games lose out.
Yeah, I'm a little. I think Little King's Story actually was a turn-based strategy game that I remember looked really nice too. And I might be wrong about that. I've only seen the game, like I haven't played it. But Battalion Wars 2, we know.
Yeah.
Should have won. So. Okay. All right. That ends the Wii. Goodbye, Wii.
Peace.
Nintendo Wii. Rounding out the modern / future / two generations, which comprise the next generation, which is actually the current generation, 2003 current, is the PlayStation 3 video game entertainment console. I like this system. And I wouldn't. It's grown on me over the years. At first, I questioned why I bought it. But it's got some real gems on it. And
none of them are represented here.
I don't know. One of them is.
Yeah. Let's just dive right in. Okay. Target. Flower.
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 Much like flow. You play as the wind, and you go around, and you visit flowers. Mm-hmm. Probably not the best shooter game on the system. Unique, pretty, cool, pretentious, everything. But Target?
Yeah. Target.
And I'm not making it up. You are literally wind.
No, I know. But, like,
because I can't think of any space shoot 'em ups, and this is, I'm sure a few came out, but I just, you know, the genre doesn't.
Grand Theft Auto would have been a better choice.
Than Flower. It beat Pixel Junk Shooter, which I think was a proper shooter, and I never played Super Stardust HD, but it sounds fun. Flower. Okay, I don't care. It was that one, because artists were like, oh yes, this touches my soul. Let's be honest, that was a soul toucher.
Yep.
And that's why it won. All right, the artist nominated Flower. So on to Adventure, where the artist had no sway, I'm sure. Oh wait, yes they did. Heavy Rain won, which is, people are going to hate me for this, but I consider Heavy Rain to be like a very beautiful variation or evolution of the point and click adventure genre a la King's Quest.
It's Deja Vu too.
Is it?
No.
But it's in the adventure category, so right. That should be good.
I would have believed that, Brian, is the thing.
I'm good at that.
It's in the adventure category, so I guess it's a point-and-click adventure game. And I guess point-and-click adventure games can beat out games like Dragon Age Origins and Final Fantasy XIII, the game I just mentioned that I was playing. You know...
Look, not every game you can summon chocobos, airships, and monsters in, guy.
Well,
sometimes you just gotta, like, have a kid die because he got hit by a car and then be sad. That's still an adventure game.
Dragon Age Origins wasn't even a... And neither Dragon Age Origins nor Final Fantasy XIII were exclusive experiences to the PS3. I think Heavy Rain was. And Heavy Rain is a very... Like, it's very like you're in a movie.
Yeah.
Everyone I know, my friend Eric went bananas over Heavy Rain. And then, like, after owning it for, like, a few weeks, he's like, yeah, I just kind of don't care what happens. And stop playing. So, Heavy Rain. Okay, fine. Adventure. High adventure. Heavy Rain. Any final comments?
I never played it, but it's one that intrigued me to possibly put another check in the PS3 column.
Actually,
possibilities.
Now that you can get that game for a very reasonable price, it'd be worth owning, I think. It rains a lot in the game, just so you know.
Nice.
At least I think it does. Okay, action. Now, the action genre... The candidates were Uncharted 2, Among Thieves. I'm just going to go ahead and say it was an adventure game as much as it is action, but okay. Call of Duty. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just. Call of Duty Black Ops. Little Big Planet 2.
They're so similar, dude. How are we ever going to decide?
I don't know how to decide. I almost kept reading into the next list where there's a game that clearly belongs under adventure, but I won't do that right now.
That has to be a mistake, but go ahead.
So, the winner for action wasn't God of War, like the best action series on the PlayStation. Nah, it didn't even make the cut. Instead, Uncharted 2 wins. Now, Uncharted 2 is an awesome game. And I guess it's action to, you are shooting guys and like fighting and stuff. But it feels more like an adventure to me. It feels, where do they put Pitfall? Was that under adventure if you think back to the 2600 days?
Yeah.
See, think of Uncharted as like where Pitfall ended up. Great game. I'm not gonna down it. It deserved to win. I'm just this is more a failing again of the genres than it is the game. Because I'm just not sure this is where Uncharted should live. But it should definitely be Call of Duty Black Ops. And maybe not Little Big Planet 2, because Little Big Planet 2. Which isn't Little Big Planet 1, is more in the vein of Mario, right? Which, and the Mario games have been well represented under action. So, it's odd that they chose Uncharted, or that Uncharted even made it here.
Uncharted 2.
Uncharted 2, sorry. Only because Uncharted 3 wasn't out yet.
But Uncharted 2 is the best of the series. I'm really puzzled about, like, the only game that really belongs in this category, based on their, what passes as their rationale, would be Little Big Planet 2, or 1. And I'm most perplexed.
I think you're the first person to ever accuse him of having rationale.
Yeah, that's rationale with asterisks on either side, and in parentheses, and quotes, all kinds of qualifiers. All right, that brings us to the last genre under the PlayStation 3, and the final game that we're going to talk about that was at this exhibition.
I just remembered, this is not a mistake. There was a video and graphical representation of this winner at the exhibit. Had I known it was under Tactics at the time, I probably would have schnickety-schnick and fucked that joint up, because this is wrong. Go ahead.
All right, okay, all right. So, Sid Meier's Civilization Revolution was a candidate. Command & Conquer, Red Alert 3, Commander's Challenge, that's like four titles in one, was another candidate. And Brutal Legend was another candidate, and the winner under Tactics. Now, let me just say this to start off with. There is a component of Brutal Legend where you're doing real-time strategy. You go from an action game to, like, when you battle the bosses on these big open play fields, and you're building, like, merch booths and stages and all this stuff so that your, like, rock and roll beats theirs, basically, right? But I don't know if, in essence, Brutal Legend is a strategy game, and I definitely know that it's not an exclusive experience for the PlayStation 3, because I played it on the Xbox 360.
Now, I love this game, and I wanted it to win something, so I'm happy it's here, but the real-time strategy aspects were basically like an encounter that, after you were done spending hours exploring the open world and fighting, and you spent 5 minutes doing.
Dude, it's like putting up like a 90-year-old chick against any 20-year-old on the block right now, and you're gonna say that the 90-year-old is hotter because her picture when she was 20, she was better looking than the current 20-year-old. Like, you can't, this doesn't belong here. It's a cool game, I agree, but it does not, I mean, Command & Conquer or Civ Revolution, come on!
Yeah.
That's like saying that the Traveling Carnival can compete with Disney World as Florida's greatest attraction. It's just, ridiculous.
Really, Brutal Legend was not essentially a tactics game. It was mainly an exploration, like, action game. And it had a component that was tactics. And I just can't beat up enough. They really pissed me off this whole time. Things that are available cross-platform and are not markedly different as you cross platforms shouldn't be held up as, like, the pinnacle of achievement for a certain genre on a certain platform. Am I wrong about that?
Certain system, yeah. I agree 100%, dude. I think anything that was multi-platform like that shouldn't have been specifically labeled under a specific console or it's just, no.
Ugh. Brian, any final comments?
I'm just glad it's over.
Okay, now we have to say, like, I too am glad that it's over, but this thing is on the road until
like 2016.
2016, it rounds itself back. It comes back around, and it's going to be in Miami in 2016.
We're going again, baby, because then all part threes will be in there. Uncharted 3.
Like, we have to go.
Expand it, I wonder.
Are they gonna Are they gonna change it? Are they gonna expand it? What's gonna happen? Because there's no way 3 years from now they're still gonna be showing. I mean, there's gonna be new consoles out by then.
It's gonna be new Marios.
Right, but I'm looking at it right now. Like, it's real easy. Uncharted 2 becomes Uncharted 3. Tony Hawk's Underground 2 becomes Part 3. You just add a number to all these. They've got room for growth.
That's true.
And 2016.
That's a long time.
That game's coming back 3 years from now, or that museum. Yeah, they're gonna update it, man. C-
because yeah, you're right. A whole new generation of systems will be on the market by then, and the Wii U. And
it's at the beginning of 2016. So yeah, October 9th, 2015 to January 25th, 2016. It'll be back in Miami. So we're gonna have to go again.
Yeah, we're going to definitely.
And oh, look, lucky me! When I go up to Seattle, I get to see it at the EMP Museum again to see if it changed within like 4 months.
Now this, I think it's going to stay the same for quite some time, because basically what we have here is pretty much verbatim to what they had at the Smithsonian. Ours was the second stop.
Yeah, which is remarkable. Yeah, how important are we?
You're right.
I don't see any kind of a hiatus or break, so I don't see where they're going to be doing any refactoring.
That's what I'm getting at, because that's exactly where I was going to point out next. It's the same amount of downtime from place to place, and you know they've probably got a well-oiled machine where they know exactly, you know, for travel and setup, and have something factored in there for, you know, for some slosh room. But dude, you're not seeing any big breaks where it would be for complete overhauls or additions. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It will be. It will be. It's gonna be pretty funny. Put it this way: seeing the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 on their next generation would be a little bit like seeing like middle-aged Robin show up to a Teen Titans show.
Exactly.
Wow. So, all right. I guess, guys, that concludes our sort of walk through the museum. Apart from those comments about the museum's future touring plans, all in all, would you recommend this exhibition to our listeners?
It was cheap and worth a few hours of hanging out. I mean, you're going to run into other people there. It's going to generate conversation. I mean, look how much conversation it generated for us.
I think we spent more time talking about it than doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think, at least from my point of view, this thing was a success in that it sparked so much opinion and conversation on our part. And
at the end of the day, isn't that what art's all about?
It really is.
I really did enjoy it. I do recommend everyone go when they're able. But I'm a big fan of know what you're getting yourself into. It's not...
Yeah, it's not some groundbreaking symposium. You're going to go in, you're going to relearn a bunch of history that you probably already know. You might get hit with one or two tidbits of knowledge. But like me, you may walk out with an appreciation for some games that kind of snuck underneath your radar. And just even for that, it's worth... Come out and get cultured, man. Go hang out. It's fun.
Yeah,
I had fun. Even though we shit all over it, I still had fun when I was there.
Yeah, and by shit all over it, we're just being like opinionated jerks, which I think you're supposed to do about art, right?
Yeah, plus being on a podcast, if we didn't, we'd lose our podcasting license.
That's true, they would yank our license. The Guild of Podcasters would totally kick us out. One final question though, guys. So has this cemented in your mind where video games fall when it comes to being an art form, like our video, would you consider video games? Did this do a good job of portraying video games as art?
I'm gonna say no. My opinion.
No, I don't
no.
think so.
Nor did it do a fair job on a history lesson.
Yeah, I think it was kind of it was a very brief history lesson and didn't really. It didn't try to unify the video game eras into being some kind of a into being movements or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like right. when you go to an art museum, I think they were trying to weave this narrative, but they didn't quite tie together what made the things part of the same genre, other than where they fell chronologically.
I think they let sponsorship and licensing fees get into the way of telling the story.
Perhaps. I mean, couldn't it have been... A little more attention could have been paid to the prevailing
game making techniques and art styles that went on during the different genre or during the different eras, I should say, right?
Yeah, I would have been happier if I had seen trends. You know what I mean? Blocks of trends for all these systems or generations, genres, whatever you want to call them. That would have been interesting, and that would have fit a lot better into the art, the history of art. You know?
Just yeah, and right. Describe like, you know, during this era, you know, programmers were challenged with limited memory, so they did what was called sprite, you know, dithering or something. I'm just making stuff up. Some common techniques, you know, and then if you're looking at the games on all the different systems from this era, you'll see this technique employed. Oh, neat. There it is, you know?
Exactly.
Something like that. And then, you know, when they went to 3D, like, look, you know, they had polygons to work with, but only so many. There were a lot of things that I think could have served as, you know, that could have tied together the eras a little better, other than, you know, these are when these commercial products were put out.
Right.
I think this was obviously approached by museum curators and artists, or not artists, art aficionados. I think next time they do it, they should have like a guy who's played a video game on the console.
They should have a we should volunteer. We humbly offer our services.
At least listen to your kid or something.
Right.
Brutal legend. Holy shit. All right. With that, guys, I think we've wrapped up our museum tour. This turned out to a blockbuster of two-parter, and I hope everybody enjoyed listening. Before we turn down the lights in the museum and kick out any stragglers, as the exhibition closes forever on this episode, I think we should do a little housekeeping. I'll start things off by saying that if you appreciated this episode as much as you appreciate art in general and video game art in particular, we highly recommend that you go over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast, and as well write a favorable review of it.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can hop on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, rate the show, leave us some comments, give us some show ideas, tell us what games you liked or didn't like. Send us an email, nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And you're missing out if you're not a member of our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/nerdstravaganza.
And with that, I think we can say in a most artistic manner,
peace!
Yeah.